famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. And you say the same thing that we say. Every time we're walking down the street, we see a hot chick with a super dorky guy.
And we say, Psycho Mike, Jenny, good to see you. Time to check in with one of our favorite new websites, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a day that goes by that Ralph doesn't come in and go, seriously, did you see what's on hotchickswithdouchebags.com today? And the genius behind it is named Jay Lewis. He joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You're doing the Lord's work out there, man. And there's none of us who haven't seen a hot chick with a douchebag and thought, how did that happen? And you kind of come up with some theories as to how these people get together.
Yeah, I think we've all had that moment where you just see, like, the greased up, you know, ridiculous douchebag with the hottest girl, and you just want to slam your head in the car door. And
yeah.
That's kind of my goal, is I'm fighting, I'm the one-man army who's trying to, like, alert the world to the insanity and bring some sanity back.
You have some great photos. The chicks are smoking hot. The guys are just... Douchebag almost is not strong enough. They just got that attitude where they just think they're so awesome, and they're clearly not.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like if you can find that photo that's like the perfect combination of just that, like, you know, luscious girl and that ridiculous guy, there's something like explodes in everybody's head, and you just want to, like, you know, set the screen on fire.
Yeah.
How did you start the site? How come, Jay?
Well, I live in Los Angeles. And, you know, I realized that I wasn't doing enough civic duty in my life, and this is sort of my way of giving back. And, you know, my rage level was so high at one point when I was walking around that I just decided to start posting the pictures and making fun of them. And the next thing I knew, people were responding to it, and I was getting all these emails. And basically at this point now, it's just I take requests. So it's like, you know, people just send in pictures, and I post the best ones. And
so you don't even have to take pictures anymore.
No, I don't even look for them. It's all over the world. People write in. I mean, there's, you know, people writing me in German about the problem in Germany with the douchebags, and I don't even, you know, apparently it's a universal theme.
Axel Rosebag 3 is fantastic. Guy with the blonde hair and the bandana and sticking his tongue out.
Yeah, that guy's pretty great.
Chick smoking hot. Just not right.
And Jay, you're the guy who actually writes all the descriptions of all the photos, because today, for instance, it's Friday haiku.
Yeah, we do every Friday. We do the sort of haiku poetry to the hottie douchey combo, and it's like people try to sum up in, you know, in the Japanese poetic form, you know, the essence of the douchebaggery and the hotness and the commingling wrongness of that combination.
Now, for all of you that are going to write us, and this happens every time we have somebody on with a website, for all of you that are going to write us these words, hey, Kevin and Bean, how do I find that hot chicks with douchebags website? First of all, try it once, because most of the time you've got it right. I got one that said, hey, what's that pot partner website that you guys talked about
yes.
the other day? Well,
yes.
It's potpartner.com. Add a .com to whatever you think it is and try it once.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's also, the link for that is on the Kevin and Bean front page if you want to go to that. Hot chicks with douchebags is the website.
Hotchickswithdouchebags.com. I also set up hcwdb.com for those who can't
spell
the long stuff.
Yeah. HCWDB.
It's so awesome. Every one of these pictures is so perfect for what you've described. But I can't get my head around how great today's photo is, because this is one of those, like, gorgeous girls with an unbelievable body with huge fake boobs. She's wearing a tiny, tiny little white bikini top. And the guy she's with has slicked back hair and sideburns. He's wearing a black shirt with a white skinny tie like he just stepped out of 1989. He's got his tongue sticking out. I mean, you're so right. You look at that and it's rage. That's the only word to describe it, is you think you've got to get her away from him.
Yeah, it's really like you want to just, like, fly into the photo and separate them with, like, a water hose. I think that's the response that, like, the classic, you know, hot chick with douchebag photo sets
now,
up in you.
Now, the about me on the front page, that's you specifically?
Yeah.
Douchebag one? I'm the biggest douchebag you ever met. The problem is I don't get the hot chicks, so maybe I'm like the anti-douchebag douchebag. Yeah, I don't think so. I think either you're a douchebag or you're not.
You know, I discuss at points the bag within that we all have.
Sure.
Every guy has the bag within, and it comes out, and you can see it in certain photos with an otherwise normal-looking guy, and all of a sudden he puts his hand, he makes the West Side hand gesture, you know, or
yeah.
You know, the tongue sticking out. And I think, like, every guy has that moment, and some go all the way to the extreme, and others of us go just one or two steps. So
let me squeeze in a question from a caller real quick. Matt in Hermosa Beach. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
So I am from Hermosa, which is land of the douchebags, and I got a question for you. Do you ever get contacted by any of the guys that you put on there, and, you know, they claim, hey, you know, I'm on your side, what's the deal? Like, I'm going to come, you know, kick your ass if you don't take me off. Do you ever get anything like that?
Matt, in all honesty, have you been featured on the site? Is that what this is about?
No.
No.
I, I definitely say I have not.
All right.
The Inland Empire is certainly one of the gold mines.
Oh, sure.
Among, you know, Jersey, Miami, New Orleans. Not New Orleans, Las Vegas.
But nobody ever contacts you and says, hey, well, how come?
I did in the beginning. I used to get really angry emails. I think now they kind of enjoy it. It's mostly the girls who write in and
sort of
defend their boyfriend and go, he's not a douchebag. You're so mean. And, it's funny because, I don't say anything, really too bad about the girls. I mean,
it's hot chicks.
Yeah, they're hot chicks. I don't know.
Exactly. Jay, I don't know how backed up you are in terms of, the backlog of getting photos up on the site, but please check your email over the next couple of days to look for something from krock.com, because we got a guy, Psycho Mike, who works here on our show, who's married to
Mike and Jenny, his hot wife.
Yes.
Yes. You know about
it. You guys to give me one of those.
Okay. We will absolutely. We'll have the King of Mexico send it out to you today, because Jenny is unbelievably hot, and seriously, what a douchebag. I mean, Mike's the very definition. Will you put it up if we send it to you?
Absolutely. And I will tool on him with every word in my lecture.
Fantastic.
I can't wait. All right. Here's the site again. It's hotchickswithdouchebags.com or hcwdb.com, and you can get the link right from the front page of the Kevin Bean section of krock.com. Jay, thanks for coming on. Have a tremendous long weekend, dude.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, bud.
Here's all I know. In some cultures, you're not really even considered friends until you've drawn a penis with a Sharpie on some guy's forehead who's passed out.
That or the teabag.
You end up getting drunk and passed out, and we're by a beach, right? So we found a starfish, and we stuck it to his butt. And we thought it was hilarious until we had to go to the hospital.
Why?
You couldn't get it off?
No, we couldn't. Yeah, the power of a starfish is unbearable.
That's unbelievable. Best.
Amazing suckers on their arms there.
I got to try that. I was way too happy about that, wasn't I?
I love the power of the starfish is unbearable.
It's unbearable.
I mean, unbelievable. That's a good one. I'd like to say that the drunk guy that woke up in the emergency room while the doctor was trying to remove a starfish from his ass, he's got a story to tell for life.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of questions, too. Not just a story.
Yeah, he has questions. That's very true.
How did I get here?
And why is this eating my ass?
Why is something eating my ass? If you pass out in Psycho Mike's presence, then it's...
The act that dare not speak its name.
But Mike has done his fair amount of passing out, too.
True.
Tell us about the drawing.
I passed out once, got hammered. This is a long time ago in my youth, of course. And my friends drew all over me, like the typical with a Sharpie. But, I mean, I didn't have a mirror. I woke up. I was late for work, so I was in a hurry. I just saw it on my arms and stuff. I assumed they drew on it. I didn't know I had stuff all over my face. Well, they had drawn a swastika, a big one, right on my forehead. A big, like a dark swastika, and like a penis on my neck. And I stopped by the store to get, like, breath mint and a bottle of water and stuff before I went to work, and I walked around and I kept saying to myself, what is wrong? Why? I must really look horrible. I must have had a long night because people are staring at me like I got a booger in my nose or something. And I got up to the counter, and you would have thought I raped this lady's baby at the counter because she was just looking at me like the worst look. So I get out to my car and I go to put chewing tobacco in my lip because I used to chew tobacco, and I pull down my view mirror to see if I got any on my face. And I just freaked. I went, oh, my God. I just walked around in public with a swastika on my forehead.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
Oh, my God.
Could have been worse, man. They could have sent you right to Temple, so it could have been a lot worse. James in Burbank. Hi, James. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What did you guys do to your friend when he was passed out drunk?
Well, my senior year of high school, and we had a sophomore on the varsity football team, and we told him one night at a party that he had to finish a fifth of vodka before the night was over.
Right.
Or we were going to work him. So he ended up doing it, and he passed out on my buddy's floor in his bathroom, and we had the cheerleaders pull his pants down and color in the twig and berries with a Sharpie, completely black.
Oh.
Very nice.
See it at all.
Very nice. I like that.
And on top of that, they also drew penises on his forehead, and he also had to be to work the next morning. So he called
that. That's great.
Thank you for the call, James. We appreciate it. He probably woke up and thought, oh, my God, I had a dream that I had a black penis, and now I do.
I think he woke up and thought, like, the blood had been cut off or something, and it was going to fall off.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's all bruised up. Christian in Torrance, good morning.
Hey, PPZ, you guys.
To PPZ. You as well. What happened to your friend when they passed out?
Well, my buddy Justin, he has a drinking problem. He has a couple 40s, and he'll pass out at 5 p.m. before the party starts.
Right.
Had a party. Basically, we're weird. We got him naked, laid him on next to the front door where people had to step over him to go to my house
right.
and get in the house. Well, my buddy decided to shave off one eyebrow, put Vanilla Ice stripes in one of his sideburns.
Right.
We felt he had enough. We dragged him upstairs. My buddy rolls him over, says, who's got a stick of gum? Starts chewing on the gum.
Stick of
we
gum.
Spread his butt cheeks apart. He spits the gum in his butt. And he's a hairy big guy. Rubs his cheeks together. Next morning he wakes up, doesn't really know what's going on. We've done the drawing stuff on him. Well, it turns out the next day he had a job interview and he only had one eyebrow.
That's awesome. Plus he was blowing a gigantic bubble out his ass. So that rules.
We asked him about that and we said, how'd you get that out? He goes, It was lame, man. My girlfriend had to cut it out with scissors.
Your butt ain't made for that!
No, it's not. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mario in San Dimas. Good morning, Mario.
Hey, Kevin and B. What's up, man?
Hi, Mario.
What did you do when your friend passed out drunk?
Actually, me and my buddy Chad went out to go dirt bike riding, and we taped our other buddy to a couch with duct tape, an entire construction-type roll of duct tape.
Duct taped into the couch? Was he able to get out on his own?
Actually, he broke out and went after my other buddy and tried to fight him because he got pissed.
Nice. Nice. That's always good when you're drunk out. You get passed, you know, pass out because you're drunk and then you just try to get in a fight. Lightning, our producer, is in here. Lightning, what did you do?
Yeah, this is after a senior party. And guy was really wasted. And he was one of those annoying drunks. So to get back at him, he passed out. We threw him in the back seat and drove him out to Beaumont on the way out to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
We dropped him off at a general store and left. And he had to get a taxi.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Out in the middle. And this is back in the late, early 90s when there was nothing in Beaumont. Just freaking hills and hillbillies.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Threw $100
bucks
in his pocket.
So he woke up and he's 100 miles from home and has no idea how he got there and where his friends are.
That's awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
Wow.
That is pretty sweet.
Brian in Fullerton. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi there. What did you do when your friend passed out drunk?
We had another one of those loudmouths at a party. He passed out on the couch, so we tied it to the back of my truck and drug him down the street.
Nice.
You didn't drag him down the street.
How did you didn't drag him down the street.
No, I dragged the couch down.
The couch.
You put him on a couch.
Him in the couch. Okay, I thought it was one of those.
Me
thought
too.
It sounded like one of those Texas stories. You know?
Hey, remember that?
It was in Texas, but it wasn't that bad.
So you roped him to a couch, and then you dragged the couch behind you.
Right.
I like
right.
it.
Gotcha.
Right. Thanks for the call.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Fred. I heard you guys talking about stuff people do when their friends pass out. I had to tell you the story. At a party a couple years ago, there were these two girls that passed out on a couch. My buddies and I sat them back to back and braided their hair together and then took glue and smeared it all over the braids.
Oh,
my God. Unfortunately, I had to leave the party, but from what I heard, the two girls had to take an hour-long shower together to get their hair free. Just
fantastic.
Thought you'd like to hear that one. Now we're talking.
That is
now
what I'm talking about.
We got something right there.
Bryce in Riverside. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hi there. What'd you do?
All right, this tops them all. Everything you've heard this morning, it tops them all.
Right.
You ready for this?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, you always have that friend at one party that he always gets drunk before he should.
Mm-hmm.
We had this friend, we needed to teach him a lesson, so I had one of my friends who was pre-med, had all the stuff for a cast ready.
Right.
So as soon as this guy passes out, we put him in a full leg cast.
A full leg cast.
So the next day, we tell everybody to tell him that he broke his leg that night. He walked around campus for a week. Before somebody actually told him, dude, what are you walking around with that cast still?
That's awesome.
You know what? When Bryce said this one's going to beat it all, I thought, well, he's just saying that. But ladies and gentlemen, Bryce, we need to give him a Kevin to Bean t-shirt for that. That's fantastic. That's a great one to end on right there.
So Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I'll tell you, fellas. Kevin and Bean, of course, are on vacation. I will be here all week, however, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news. Tune in especially tomorrow, where I will be doing a live interview with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh!
Who is the star of course, Disturbia earlier this year. He's got Transformers coming out. You know how excited I am about that movie. And he's currently in the midst of filming Indiana Jones 4. So this guy's got the world by the ass. Not too shabby. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. As expected, Evan Almighty. Number one at the box office in its debut, made $32.1 million, good enough to make it number one. And in a surprising number two showing, 1408, the Stephen King-based horror film starring John Cusack.
It's good.
Made over $20 million in its debut. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Now? Good stuff?
It's very good. You know, Cusack's one of those, like, rare American actors still out there that can really elevate whatever he's in.
Yeah, he's always good at everything.
And the movie's just awesome. It's well written. It's real hit or miss, you know, with those suspenseful thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just really quality through and through, and it's a good movie.
Were you on the edge of your seat?
I was hiding behind my wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's a small girl. That's not easy to do.
I know.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer was number three at the box office. Ocean's 13 came in at number four. Knocked Up was five. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, still hanging in the top 10, made an additional $7.2 million this weekend, good enough to make it number 6. Then Surf's Up, Shrek the Third, Nancy Drew, and A Mighty Heart, the brand new film starring Angelina Jolie, which everyone's talking about her performance as a possible Oscar nomination for later in the year. Not a lot of people went to see it, and its debut made only $4 million, good enough just to make it number 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, last week we talked about the fact that the Today Show reportedly was willing to shell out $1 million for the first post-jail interview with Paris Hilton. However, that seems to have been canceled.
That's hot.
NBC has announced they will not be featuring Paris on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira to interview her. However, Paris has moved on to another interviewer. Looks like Larry King.
What?
Yes, that paragon of hard-hitting journalism, Larry King, will be interviewing Paris tomorrow night.
That's, oh, no. She's a whore.
No, she is. That's the word from TMZ.com. So I'm sure I will bring you all the clips, all the interesting things Paris has to say. She will talk about nothing in 100 words or less, and you'll be very entertaining. She said in this statement, I'm not kidding, this is hers, I am thrilled that Larry King has asked me to appear on his program to discuss my experience in jail, what I have learned, how I have grown, and anything else he wants to talk about. Larry King is not only a world-renowned journalist, but a true American icon. It will be an honor to do his show. Let's see if I can translate that for you. I couldn't find anyone to pitch me softer questions than Larry King, so I have to go with him.
Exactly.
So, Paris, I don't know you. What do you do? It's going to be his first question.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hello.
The New York Post has said that OK Magazine has won the bidding war for the pictures of the upcoming wedding of Eva Longoria and Tony Parker. Reportedly, the magazine will shell out $2 million for the privilege of publishing the photos of the two of them as man and wife. Are we that excited about Eva Longoria and Tony Parker getting married, really, that it's worth $2 million to that magazine to put those pictures out there?
No. How can anybody be that excited about those two?
Now, keep in mind, this tabloid was the magazine that paid $4.1 million of the first photos of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's baby Shiloh. So their wedding's only worth half that, but still.
But see, with the baby, there is some interest there. I mean, you take the two
major stars,
arguably the best looking people in the world, and you make a baby. Everybody wants to see that. With these, you know, Eva Longoria and an NBA player.
Yeah, I'm not that sure it's a good investment. But look, if anyone wants to buy my wedding pictures, $50. You can have them. If the magazine wants them, I'll sell them for $50.
Huh? And you were in a Batmobile.
I know. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Speaking of babies and marriages and things like that there, Eddie Murphy's DNA test results have come back. Apparently Friday afternoon is when we found out the news. And wait for it. He is, yes, definitely the father of Melanie Scary Spice Brown's 2-month-old baby. Of course, she's been saying that all along. I wish they'd done this on the Maury Povich show the way it should have been done. And Eddie, you are the baby's father.
Oh, no,
you didn't. Eddie said now he will do the right thing, whatever that is. I guess it means write a big fat check every month.
Yeah.
So I think I can imagine. And this is a great story. If you're like me and you've had an ass full of James Blunt, you know he sings that song, 'Cause you're beautiful. No, that's Christina Aguilera. What's this beautiful song?
You're beautiful.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I got an ass full
like
of that.
That.
Apparently he thinks model Gisele Bündchen is beautiful.
Yeah.
And said he would like to go out with her. However, in an interview with the London Telegraph, Gisella said she doesn't like any British men.
Good for her.
She's not sure why. She just doesn't. I'm thinking foreskin and bad teeth. That's what I'm thinking. Not necessarily in that order.
But some good candidates for bad.
She was asked what she thought of James Blunt, and she had no idea who he was at the time of the interview. That makes me feel good, because he's been dating some smoking hot babes lately.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas, again, was interviewed. I'm not quite sure why, but she tells the June issue of Self magazine that she wants to tell young people how uncool it is to do methamphetamines. Well, thanks for the info, Fergie. Apparently, she did them quite a bit when she was younger, and she says in this interview that one time she was so high on meth that she got paranoid and had a discussion with her clothes hamper for 8 straight hours. In a debate between Fergie and her clothes hamper, I think her clothes hamper would kick her ass.
Easily.
Yeah, so she's trying to spread the message to young people. Don't do methamphetamines. It's uncool.
I'd pay so much money for a video of her and her clothes hamper having a conversation.
Yeah. You know, in a related story, Psycho Mike once humped his clothes hamper for 8 straight hours.
Yeah.
Was it a good time, Mike?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I've humped for 8 straight hours.
Pamela Anderson spent her summer vacation touring Finland with her father. No, that's not a euphemism. She actually went on a trip with her dad to Finland and said that she fell in love with saunas. Apparently, Pam and her family are Finnish, so she went back to explore her heritage and said she loves the sauna. In fact, so much now, she's thinking of opening a chain of saunas. No, I'm kidding. She wants to open a chain of strip clubs, she says in the interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She wants to call them Lapland in honor of her Finnish... You think I'm kidding? No, this is true. In honor of her Finnish heritage, she wants to call them Lapland.
It's a good name.
Because the Laplanders, see, are from Finland.
But it's a play on words, I think.
Exactly, Psycho Mike. Once again, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly. Today's celebrity birthdays... Director Sidney Lumet. I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not, but if you've never seen Serpico, you owe it to yourself. It's one of the great cop movies of all time, starring Al Pacino. He's 83 years old today. Jimmy J.J. Walker. Dynamite!
Yeah.
Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
60 years old today. Ricky Gervais. Is there a funnier person on the planet?
I think
maybe not. He's 46 years old today. Mike Kroeger, bassist for Nickelback, is 33 years old today. George Michael.
What?
No. No.
Woo!
No.
Rocket.
I thought I'd be saved that with Kevin on vacation, but no that's Boy George. George Michael. Different guy completely. He's 44 years old today. And if you are a Freaks and Geeks fan like me, you get a double dose of a treat today. Linda Cardellini, who played Lindsay on that show, of course, is now over there on ER. She is 32 years old. And Busy Phillips, who played Kim Kelly on Freaks and Geeks. She was also on Dawson's Creek, ER herself. She is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, what's up with those damn urinal cakes talking to you?
This is a great story. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. It was just announced in New Mexico that they're trying to combat. Every state has the problem with the drunk drivers, and they do everything they can to kind of raise the awareness of don't drink and drive.
Right.
But they've come up with an unusual way to do it that I had not heard anyone do before, and that is talking urinal cakes.
Now, for you girls that don't frequent men's rooms,
yes.
They have like little, they're like hockey puck size cakes that they put in the urinals, and I think it's for... To smell, make odor? It smell fresh, right? I guess.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
And now they're installing talking ones that'll give you a message. In New Mexico, it says, like, for example, you walk up to the urinal and it says, "You drink, you drive, you lose."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have that printed on the top of the hockey puck, and then it also talks to you. And it basically, you know, it's a suggestion for people who are hitting the head, as my dad used to say in the Navy, on their way out of the bar at night. It's basically just a reminder, hey, don't drink and drive. And it's a pilot program. They got 500 of them in bars all over New Mexico, and they're going to wait and see how it goes. They cost $21 each, by the way, to buy these.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made by a company in China, and I love the name of the company, Wismark.
Wismark.
That's awesome.
Wismark. No word on whether they're working on a talking tampon for the ladies. But right now... No, I'm just saying, because
yeah,
because
well, don't
women,
say.
They drink and drive, too, though. So right
well,
now, the
it's
talking...
Well, it's not like they're all on their period.
That's not the... That's
well,
not,
they do it.
Oh, man.
But when they are, Lisa, boy. They'll be so safe, is what I've said.
You're an odd man.
What's wrong with you?
So the urinal cakes, we first heard about in this story in New Mexico, but now we're asking around, and apparently they got them here at K-Rock already. And I don't know if that's because we've had so many people pulled over and arrested on the way home from work. From here, but apparently they're using them here at the building.
The talking on urinal cakes?
Mm-hmm.
Talking, yeah. Psycho Mike, did we bug the restroom? That's how we got this?
Yeah, Omar and I yesterday, we decided to find out a little bit of like what it sounds like in these urinals with people talking back and forth with urinal cakes. So we just, put a little hidden microphone action, and this is what we got.
So who's the first person that goes into the restroom?
I think it's Jed Fish.
Jed.
Oh, Jed.
Oh, okay. All right.
My hidden microphone in the restroom.
Oh, 106.7 K-Rock Carol Q. It's Jed the Fish.
Hello, Jed.
I remember I filleted Terrence Trent D'Arby in the bathroom at the Viper Room in 91.
That is interesting.
Ah!
No. Number one only. Number one
that's
only.
Jed's catch of the day for sure. Oh, no more FiberCon for the Jedster.
Oh.
Why? Why? You have to kill the urinal cake.
Oh, did he say asshole? Is that what he said? Oh, that's sad.
That's awful.
I never thought I'd feel bad for a urinal cake, but Jed shouldn't have done that.
When the urinal cake was shouting number one only, that's a bad sign right there, right? All right, who do we have next?
Doc on the Rock. He's constantly the bad news. Destroying it.
Doc is the guy who runs down the hallway with the newspaper in his arm, and he says this. It's time.
Oh, God.
And we're all like, we don't need to know. So here's a little of that.
Well, you see, they finally put a new urinal cake in here.
Good morning.
Urinal cakes were first developed by the ancient Romans, who also collected urine to use for dry cleaning purposes.
What are you talking about?
Urinal cakes were used in Vietnam to repel bugs and other pests that bothered GIs in the trenches.
If you could just go to the bathroom, that'd be great.
Urinal cakes have been designed now to talk.
No, seriously, shut the f*** up.
No, you shut the f*** up.
Asshole.
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? Well, you just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Well, that's what we might.
And who's next? We have one more?
Omar goes in, I guess.
DJ
know.
Omar Khan?
Yeah, idiot. He's fried his brain. Forgot that we bugged
you. You bugged it. You put the microphone in there.
Must have forgot.
What in God's name?
One's and twos, baby. Let me get this kid up here.
Urinal Cake 2000 welcomes you to the laboratory. Sir, what are you doing?
Oh, that's some good shit. Oh, DJ Omar Khan. I'm DJ Omar Khan.
Sir, are you aware that methamphetamine causes massive brain damage?
Hello?
And can affect the central nervous system?
You urinal cake. DJ Omar Khan. DJ Omar Khan.
That's the drugs talking, sir. Are you really angry at me, or are you angry at yourself?
Well, now that I look at it, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I should rethink how I'm living my life. Thanks, urinal cake.
It's my pleasure, Omar. I'm not just here to get peed on.
How about that? Making a difference.
That is a sweet story.
That is fantastic.
I have to say.
Thank you.
We might as well call this feature When Bad Commercials Happen to Good People. Hey, this guy that we're going to talk to, the Veskeezy, does he work here at K-Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Then why isn't he sitting across the table from us right now? Why is he on the phone?
Yeah. Hey, why are you on the phone?
I'm driving into work right now.
Bitch! Brian works here at K-Rock. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, and he works on the commercials. And we think we have a bit of a problem here, Brian.
Okay. Oh,
we have to be honest. You voice a lot of the commercials.
Yes, it is.
What's your background? Where are you from originally?
From Santa Monica.
Okay.
Around the L.A. area.
Local.
So the L.A. area, mm-hmm. Okay. So do you do accents, or you have family members from the South, or?
Well, actually, if you want to get that specific, I'm half El Salvadorian, half Bulgarian.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Okay.
It doesn't help. Mm-mm. Let me play a few clips of commercials that you've done in the past couple of days, and maybe you can help us understand what in God's name is going on.
All right.
The first one is a Del Taco commercial.
Del Taco wants to know, what's your papas? Choose between the shrimp and papas or the fish and papas.
Okay. What's your papas?
Papas.
What's your papas? Why do you trill your R there, Brian?
All right, first of all, I don't write that. And second, I thought it was kind of funny when I read it myself, but...
Were you high?
No, I wasn't.
I think Brian is taking his cues from Linda Alvarez on the news.
All right, I'm going to play another one, and then I want you to tell me what's going on here. This is another commercial that Brian has worked on.
Who could resist the tangy tartar sauce, flaky deep water white fish, and melted American cheese for just a buck and some change?
Okay, what's the deep water cheese? The tangy saucy deep water cheese.
Just a buck and some change.
What in God's name?
I don't know.
What's that accent?
I thought I just could not read that straight. I got to throw a little flair, a little accent into that.
What kind of accent?
What is the accent, though? I don't know what it is. Deep water.
Cajun? Are you trying to be Cajun?
But it brought a lot of attention to that commercial. Must have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, boycotting mostly is the kind of attention.
All right, here's another piece that Brian worked on.
And you just might be one of those beef lovers that's crazy about mouth-watering Swiss cheese and tender sautéed mushrooms.
Are you a beef lover?
Tender. It's tender.
Are you a lover of tender beef?
And I love my mushrooms.
What is that?
Are you trying to be Ali G? Is that what you're doing?
I guess I just like having a lot of fun with commercials. They're fun to do, and I can't read them all straight every day.
It sounds fun. I mean, we picture you smoking out, but it sounds fun.
Now, we didn't have the tape, Kevin, on our favorite, the one where he talks about something that's crimmy, right?
Crimmy.
It's crimmy.
That one's gone, thank God.
Oh, see, I asked Brian yesterday, I want all of your bad commercials, and he didn't send in crimmy.
Crimmy. Now, what was crimmy? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a creamy low-fat yogurt or something like that.
Creamy.
Creamy. It's creamy.
You couldn't find it, my ass. You've got it at home on the wall on a gold record. All right, here's another one.
The flame-grilled goodness for just $5 more. Only at El Pollo Loco.
Only at El Pollo Loco. All of a sudden, he's south of the border.
$5 more.
What the hell? Here's another one.
Got a hankering for Texas barbecue? Try Shakey's Texas barbecue chicken pizza topped with grilled chicken, whole milk mozzarella, and Shakey's sweet and smoky barbecue sauce. Hungry? Two-step it over to Shakey's today.
Hungry?
Okay, that's terrible.
Hungry?
Barbecue.
Barbecue.
Hungry? Two-step it over.
Brian, every once in a while, we have to have somebody on it. We have to get them to pay attention, to listen up as we ask this question.
All right.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I have no idea. Sometimes I'm having too much fun behind the mic.
Well, it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to change your style.
Oh,
no, it's
I just wanted to find out
is.
Where it's coming from exactly. Here's one of my favorites.
I'm a powerful man. Why, you might ask?
I'm a powerful man.
Are you trying to sound black?
Is that your black voice?
I remember reading that and just going, oh, no. How am I going to do this one?
See, Brian knows what it's like to be me, to have to read something and know that you can't pull it off no matter what you do.
Yeah. Right.
You might as well just give it a shot.
And that blows.
I don't know where you're getting your weed, because the stuff we buy from Jed isn't nearly as good as the stuff you must be getting. So you got to start sharing, brother. That's all we're saying.
Absolutely.
Keep doing the work the way you're doing it, but don't Bogart.
God bless you guys.
All right.
Got a hankering for Texas barbecue? Try Shakey's Texas barbecue chicken pizza topped with grilled chicken, whole milk mozzarella, and Shakey's sweet and smoky barbecue sauce. Hungry? Two-step it over to Shakey's today.
Is there anything else you'd like us to know?
I'm a powerful man.
All right.
Wow.
So why not sue me for trying to do too much? Is that the problem here, Kevin? Is that I work too hard?
I'm just saying squatters should not complain about squatting. Most people have taken to email for pretty much everything.
Yes, absolutely.
I never did write letters, physical, writing out letters. Mm-hmm. But, my wife does that all the time. She writes thank you notes to everybody. She says, I think they really appreciate a handwritten note.
They do.
And I say, I bet they do, but I'm going to email them because that's what I do. that's all I do is email. I've spent 10 years since I've put, paper to pen.
And put it in an envelope and mailed
paper.
It.
Yeah, and mailed it. And I just don't do that. But Bean writes complaint
How
letters.
About postcards? You send those?
Nope.
Because yesterday, I'm in New York, I send postcards out, and I got to go to the Times Square post office and get some stamps and mail those off. And
that's the difference between you and me, is that I don't get to go to a post office. I'm forced to go to a post office because I hate it.
I had
and
such a good
vacation?
Time. I was like the 20th person in line, too. It was so fun. I got to be there for a long time. But the cool thing is I know how appreciative the people on the other end of the postcard will be when they go out to their mailbox, and boom, there's a picture of New York City and a warm note.
Yeah. Is it warm? Just out of the oven?
So, yeah, exactly.
I have a note in my hand from Bean. It's a strongly worded letter. Bean is the only one that I know who writes strongly worded letters. That's what he calls them. When he's upset with a company, he'll sit down and write a letter and send it out. And this one is particularly good, and I'd like to read it to you now.
Okay.
Dear sir or madam, it goes without saying that I hoped I would never be writing a strongly worded letter to you of all people. You leave me no choice, as your company has been squatting on the website domain named stronglywordedletter.com.
Oh, the irony.
For more
now,
than 2 years.
How much does that hurt?
That's
how
crazy.
How much does that hurt that somebody else owns stronglywordedletter.com? Come on.
Squatting, I tell you. It's been long enough that it's apparent that you have no plans for the name, and you're just sitting on it to screw with those of us who have respect for the internet and its users.
Yeah!
I have big plans for the name, plans that will make America stronger. Instead of a lifetime of inaction, you have chosen that all but embodies the terrorists.
Liar.
I hope it's emboldened. I hope
you're
that's what I actually wrote.
You're a liar.
You did. Don't hate this country. Do the right thing. Stop wasting the valuable resource that is stronglywordedletter.com.
That's what I'm saying.
And contact me at once to arrange a fair and speedy transfer of the domain name to get it. Where it can do some good. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Sincerely, Bean.
Bean, how many?
What? A strongly worded letter is a great domain name, and it's BS that it's out there. Somebody owns it, and they're not doing anything with it. You can't argue with that, Lisa.
That's correct. Argue with how many websites you own that have nothing on them.
That's not
how
the point.
How many are there?
You're squatter number one.
Yes.
That's not the
Tell
point.
Us what happened with Pablo Cruz, Bean.
Uh-huh.
Pablo Cruz, that's a rock group, 70s.
Rock group for the 70s that I was a big fan of, that I owned PabloCruz.com, and eventually I gave it to the band because they wanted it, so I gave it to them, so now they use it.
Yeah, they wrote him a note saying they wanted it. He said, I don't like the tone of your note. I'm not going to give it to you.
Because they wrote him a strongly worded letter.
Yeah. So he sat on it for about a year. They tried to get it from him for about a year, and he said, no.
I'm not giving it to you.
I didn't care for their attitude.
Your strongly worded letter is pretty rude.
But they're Pablo Cruz, for God's sake. They could have been a little bit nicer.
You just accuse these people of terrorism. Do you really think they're just going to happily hand this over to you?
I hope that my strongly worded letter that Kevin just read is eye-opening to the point where they go, wow, you're right. We do hate America. Let's give the kid his website domain name.
And then they'll give it to you so you can work on it instead of Mullet Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, Mullet Hall of Fame is a gold mine waiting to happen.
He knows
that
one is doing nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Young, Hot, and Asian.
Hey! Yeah.
.com.
That's the moneymaker. You got to admit, that is the moneymaker.
It would be if you were doing anything with it. JanelleMaloney.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Old blues singer RalphStanley.com.
Country.
PuppyLake.com. Yeah.
PuppyLake.com. Tell me that's not a great domain name.
It is, but you're not doing anything with it, so maybe you're the wrong person to be complaining about them not doing anything.
But it's not like there's somebody out there who has plans for PuppyLake.com and is complaining that I'm using it.
Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay.com.
That's
going to be a great site.
Be done doing nothing something with that.
Not a thing. Let's see. What else? 70247.com. That's the date of Roswell.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Doing nothing with it.
But there's going to be a Roswell tribute site one day that's going to rock your world.
Have you seen the saucers.com?
Another great one.
Bean owns all of these and is doing nothing with them.
There needs to be a clearinghouse for UFO sightings.
AndyGibb.com. HalloweenSpooks.com.
Jeez, Bean.
ValentinaTereshkova.com. Here's what I'm saying. I don't know. Do something with some of these since you have time.
Just one. Do something with just one.
RickDsSucks.com.
Nothing on that?
Nothing.
Not yet.
But at least KevinandBean.com is up and running. At least that's going. So that's good news. Those are all websites that Bean owns and is doing nothing with.
He demands another website that he can pay for every year and do nothing with.
Yes.
Well, he wants them
to turn over their website because they're not doing anything with it to him so he can not do anything with it.
I would do something with stronglywordedletter.com.
What would you do?
Maybe I'd put up my strongly worded letters that I write. And I write them all the time.
Maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure
you wouldn't.
But maybe I would, though.
Yes,
but what if I did?
But what about all the websites I just mentioned?
I'm very busy.
You know, there's more to this story, too. I, for a long time now, have been dying to get the strongly worded letter as a band name. And Bean, who doesn't play any instruments, nor has never, ever been in a band, he forbids it. That's mine.
You can't forbid it.
That's my band name. You can't do it. I'm going to use it as a band name. Right. I said, Bean, you don't play music.
You can't call dibs on a name.
Nope. Strongly worded letter is the name of my band. They're the spinoff from my... My primary group is Grand Theft Pluto. That's my real band. But then my spinoff band is going to be strongly worded letters.
Now, listen to me. This sounds like yuck, like joke, Bean. This is the exact conversation we'll have off the air. I'll be like, Bean, come on. I want to use it. He'd be like, nope, that's my band name.
Why are you asking him? That's my question.
Well, because I said, originally when he said, wouldn't that be a great band name? I said, you're right. That's perfect, especially for like an alt metal type of avant-garde type thing. It's perfect. He's like, well, you can't use it. It's mine. I said, what do you mean it's yours? You don't play music. That's my band name, dude. I own it. I possess that. That's mine.
So your follow-up statement should be F-U-U-F-ing-F.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take the name.
Yeah. I just want you to understand that what's going through his head, that he really believes he has sole possession of the band name.
He really believes he has a band.
Even though he doesn't has no musical talent, nor has it ever engaged in playing music with a group of men.
And is never going to, and we know that.
But one day, you guys, look...
How do you write
to any other website and accuse them of squatting when you have over, I think, 25 website domains that you're doing nothing with?
You know, there are guys who have hundreds of thousands of domain names that they're doing nothing with.
Okay.
Well,
and
they're all
I'm small potatoes, is what I'm saying.
Is that what you hope to aspire to?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Did you hear Lisa? Have...
Lisa,
rewind.
Lisa brought it just a second ago.
Yes, she did.
And I moved on. Did I hear the words sucky suck?
They're all sucky sucks.
Yes, they are.
Wow.
And so are you.
Yes, you are. Stop writing your letters to people about that.
I'm just saying they hand over stronglywordedletter.com. Magic goes up on the internet instead of what they're doing, which is disgracing this country. That's what I'm saying.
I am writing them a letter demanding that they never give you that website.
As am I.
Absolutely.
As am I.
Mike, will it be strongly worded?
It will be strongly worded.
I don't write letters. Gonna write this one.
Yep.
Oh, super how dare
strong.
You.
You in?
It's
going to
be
strong.
Super strong. That's what you need is super strongly worded letter.com. Just take that one.
There you go.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Homo say what?
Oh, damn. Those guys are funny. I can see why they're beloved in Southern California, because they just keep bringing the hilarious comedy. Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week, but I will be here all week long, bringing you all the latest and greatest in showbiz news, and even throwing in a special event or two. Tomorrow, I will be having a live interview with Shia LaBeouf, who stars, of course, in Transformers, which is upcoming. He was in Disturbia earlier this year, and he is currently filming Indiana Jones 4. That's not too bad. That's a pretty good life. Psycho Mike, why don't you turn your microphone on there? It's not on. Can't hear you. Not a word.
It's not fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike's in the studio here with me. How was your weekend, Psycho?
You know, actually, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah?
I can't believe it. I rarely have good weekends.
I continued my quest to be the whitest man in America.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very pale gentleman.
Yeah.
Went out, sat by the pool under an umbrella near a pool. Still got sunburned under an umbrella. I didn't think that was humanly possible, but I managed.
Your skin is so fair, so cherubic, so baby-like.
Yes.
So soft, so sensitive.
Just being exposed to daylight in any capacity causes me to immediately turn pink. So,
you need a hyperbaric chamber.
I do. I need to wear a burqa when I go outside. That's
and I have a special skin cream for you that we can talk about.
Stop it.
After the show.
You went to the movies this weekend, didn't you?
Second? I did.
What'd you see?
1408.
And?
So good.
I didn't get a chance to go to the movies this weekend. I really wanted to go see Black Sheep. That's what I was looking to go see, but I haven't
You've been looking forward to seeing that since the Carter administration.
Yes, for a long time. So I'm going to try to pick that up today or tomorrow. I'm going to take a look over at the Lemley Sunset and take a look at that. But let's take a look at the weekend's top movies at the box office. Evan Almighty did well enough to win the number one slot, made $32.1 million. However, people are speculating that already it's a failure, believe it or not. Apparently, it is the most expensive comedy ever made.
What?
The official price tag, the budget for that film, was $175 million to make that movie. It was estimated that the film would have to open at least in the mid to high 30s in order to regain its money. So $32 million, although it sounds pretty good, is way below expectations and way below Universal's hopes. So we'll have to wait and see how it does in the weeks to come. 1408, the movie you mentioned with John Cusack, the horror movie based on the Stephen King story, made $20 million at the box office. That was good enough to make it number two. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, was number three. Ocean's 13 was number four, then Knocked Up at number five. At number six, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Surf's Up was number seven. Shrek the Third was number eight. Nancy Drew at nine. And then A Mighty Heart, another disappointing box office turn this weekend. A Mighty Heart, the brand new Angelina Jolie movie, only made $4 million at the box office in its debut. People raving about her performance, but not a lot of people went to see it at the theaters this weekend.
Given the kind of the critical acclaim that's got and the continual buzz after the opening weekend, though, don't you think that's going to be a word-of-mouth kind of movie?
Yeah, I think the more people go to see it and tell their friends, the more people will show up. And, of course, as I said, her performance is being highly touted as an Oscar-worthy performance. But I was just thinking it was interesting timing, given all the smash blockbusters in theaters right now.
Right.
That you'd put a small sort of, not depressing, but somber drama, to say the least, up against movies that are, the feel-good movies of the summer. So I think it's got bad competition. Oh, Mandy Moore.
She
continues to be Dave's dream girl. This from TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. Apparently, she sometimes forgets her lyrics. And so while she was performing in New York City the other night, she was reading them from her BlackBerry.
Oh, my God. She is so Dave's ideal woman.
Isn't that the perfect? If she could just text Dave while she was singing, it would have been the perfect event for him. She leans on her electronics just the way Dave does. And it has been announced that Paris Hilton will do her first post-jail interview this week. However, it won't be with the Today Show, as it was previously bandied about, that they were going to pay $1 million in order to talk to her. Instead, it will be with Larry King.
That's hot.
Yeah, that is hot. You got the world's biggest softball thrower and the world's dumbest heiress on television for an hour, so it should be very entertaining. I believe it's tomorrow night. She's supposed to get out today sometime, and then she'll talk to Larry tomorrow, so I'll definitely bring you clips of that if you don't catch it tomorrow night. However, Paris says she has big plans now that she's out of jail. She'd like to build a halfway house for ex-cons. I'm not kidding. She said that she wants to build a transitional home for just-released inmates where they can get food and clothes on their backs and stop the bad cycle of in-and-out jail behavior. As for her own life, Paris says she wants a new social start, saying that she's done with those types of people. So she doesn't want to surround herself with the bad people from her pre-jail life.
Is she, you know, she went to jail for like a couple weeks,
yeah,
and now she's going to dedicate her whole life.
No, she's done hardcore time, man. You see her. She's huge. She bulked up in the exercise yard.
Yeah?
She was just lifting weights all day long. Yeah.
Swole.
She is swole. Apparently, she won't be hanging out with Nicole Richie and who's the fire crotch dude? Who's that, Brandon Davis?
Brandon Davis, yeah.
I guess she won't be hanging out with him anymore.
He's swole.
More from TMZ.com. Rosie O'Donnell. Looks like we have a reprieve. She will not be hosting The Price is Right.
Oh.
Despite a substantial offer that was apparently made to her by CBS. Fox News is reporting that she did take a meeting with the network suits over at CBS. They offered her the job, but they wanted her to relocate to Los Angeles to do the show. Rosie wants to stay in New York. They couldn't work out the details, and so she passed on the gig, which is good news for everyone, especially those of us who live here in Los Angeles, because she won't be moving here. So.
Right. And after, you know, hearing people throw around the rumors that Drew Carey might be up for the job, he how can you not hire him?
Yeah, he's the slam dunk. He's the one you want, absolutely. Yeah. Eddie Murphy is, in fact, the father of the baby had by Melanie Scary Spice Brown 2 months ago. The DNA test came back on Friday, and he is definitely the father. Of course, that's what Melanie said all along. Eddie said on previous occasions that the baby was proven to be his. He would do the right thing.
So he's going
to
marry her?
Not so much.
Oh.
I think do the right thing means write a lot of checks. Mm. It's her second child, by the way, and his seventh. Eddie Murphy has seven children. I don't know how many women he's had them with, but that's a lot of kids.
Busy man.
No wonder he does all those lame-ass kid comedies.
He's got a lot of kids to pay for.
And speaking of Nicole Richie, as we were earlier with Paris Hilton, the rumors that she's got a bun in the oven just won't stop. Star Magazine reports that Nicole has hit a rehab facility, and last month she went in and told the staff she was suffering from a dependency from Vicodin, Soma, and Norco.
Oy vey.
Norco, isn't that is it out there in the IE someplace?
I don't think she means she's living in Norco.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Although you do need a rehab center for that.
She was bawling over the fact that she was also pregnant, and if she didn't quit her drug use, she said her boyfriend would leave her. Well, at least if he's taking a stand. If you're wondering how advanced her disease is, by the way, Star Magazine reports that it's estimated that Nicole Richie has popped around 37,000 pills in her lifetime.
Good times.
Now, Nicole's 25 years old, so if you do the math, it roughly converts to about 10 pills per day over the last 10 years. Ah, oh, that's a life. And there's a life right there. And speaking of drugs, don't do it. It's not cool. That's what Fergie the Black Eyed Peas says. She says it's uncool to be addicted to methamphetamines the way she was. She told the June issue of Self magazine that one time after getting high, she was so paranoid that she had a discussion with her clothes hamper for 8 straight hours. Apparently the clothes hamper was upset that she kept peeing her pants and putting the pants in there.
Oh,
you know how it is. Clothes hampers don't dig that.
No.
No more than anyone else would.
What you gonna do with all that junk?
Yeah.
All that junk inside your trunk.
Yeah, apparently she thought someone was living inside her clothes hamper.
If you know any tweakers, that is so methamphetamine behavior. I mean, that is it in a nutshell.
She thought the person inside the clothes hamper planned to come out and get her. So she tried to rationalize with a person by having a long talk with this person inside her clothes hamper. Ah, drugs are glamorous, aren't they?
I knew a guy did a lot of meth. He took apart, this is a true story, took apart his TV because he thought Conan O'Brien was going to come out and get him. And
Shut up.
I swear to God, he took apart the panel off the TV and he decided he needed to just level with the guy and get, you know, get right to the heart of the matter.
That's spectacular.
Yeah, man. Total tweaker behavior.
Oh, we have to have a call-in topic someday. Hey, how tweaked were you? I'd like to hear your tweak story sometime.
A moment with meth.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jimmy J.J. Walker from Good Times. Dynamite. He's 60 years old today. George Michael, singer, songwriter. You know him from Wham, of course.
He was, of course, from...
No. No. Incorrect. No, that is, of course, Boy George. Very different George. Thought I'd get a reprieve from that with Kevin being gone. Ricky Gervais, very talented actor. You know him from the original British version of The Office, also from Extras over there on HBO. He is 46 years old today. Linda Cardellini. She is a nurse Samantha Taggart on ER. She was also on Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite TV shows. She's 32 years old today. And another Freaks and Geeks alum, Busy Phillips, celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, so every once in a while we talk about a topic and it blindsides us. We have no idea there's this much interest in a topic like this.
Or in this case, we had no idea that everyone hates emos. A few days ago, we got on the topic of the emo kids. There was a Fox News story about the very disturbing trend that we frankly are against. And I think we were very outspoken about saying, don't go out and beat up emo kids, videotape it, put it up on the internet, and then send us the link where we can see it. That would be wrong, and
right.
We do not encourage you to do that.
We'd
if you're a
that.
Part of a video like this,
emo, get him.
We don't want to have anything to do with it. And then somehow we got on the topic of the emo jokes that are going around. And there are a lot of them, and they're great. And we need to bring them to you on the air, because nothing's funnier than an emo kid. And as Lisa points out, they're already sad. Why do you have to make them sadder?
Do you have that clip of the girl that's talking about the birds? Because that was a perfect example from that news piece.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like... hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
Yeah, right.
So why would anyone want to joke around about a poor emo kid like that? But then, you know, people started writing us, you know, how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? You know, F them, just let them cry in the dark. I saw that one. And by the way, speaking of how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb, the alternate version is you need 3, 1 to replace it and 2 to write a poem about how much they miss the old one. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the emo kids. How do you know an emo kid has been in your bathtub? The body is still there. It's no that. I mean, that's really more the kind of emo joke we're looking for.
Let's say good morning to Sean in Monrovia. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. Emo joke.
Yeah, I have a emo boy in my family tree. He's been hanging there for years.
Oh, see
because
yeah,
got it.
See the twist that took.
Uh-huh.
Steve in Highland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Steve.
What's your emo joke?
Hey, mine is how does an emo put on why does an emo wear his girlfriend's pants?
It was well delivered, but what's the punchline?
It's the only way he'll ever get in them.
Oh, I gotcha.
See, Lisa, because he doesn't have skills.
Right.
Oh, never mind.
Right. Then how does he have a girlfriend? Uh-huh. I don't know.
Laurel in Newport Beach. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Laurel.
Emo jokes. What do you got?
Okay, why do emo kids wear their pants so tight?
Why do they wear their pants so tight? I give up.
Do you pump all their heart or blood to their tiny little hearts?
Okay.
That's okay.
David, what do you got?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning? I don't know.
Take your foot off his head.
That's a good one.
That's terrible. That's an awful joke.
That's a good one.
That's not even funny.
So don't do that.
Take your foot off his neck. All right. Nick in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Emo joke. What do you got?
Why do emo kids wear hair over their face?
Oh, good question. I've always wanted to know why.
To hide their black eyes.
That's good.
I wonder if he saw Spider-Man and the emo look that he had going.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man
had
the eyeliner.
Emo Spider-Man, exactly.
And he pulled the hair down over his eyes. I was like, what? Spider-Man's gone emo? Are you kidding
me? He has. He's got the black costume, the whole deal. You're absolutely right. He's listening to My Chemical Romance albums.
Jamie in Irvine. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, why did the emo kid cross the road?
Why did the emo kid cross the road?
Why?
I give up.
To get run over.
Okay. Maybe we'll end there. Maybe that.
What?
Maybe
you're going to end on that one?
The drowning might have been our peak.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going downhill fast. I'm worried it'll get worse if we take Joe's call.
We can't end on why did the emo cross the road. Joe?
Yes.
Give me a good emo joke so we can get out.
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo?
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo? I give up.
All right, what?
Pussies.
I don't get it.
What is it?
Because pussies. Because anybody who would be emo, you would go and just call them that.
I didn't even hear that word.
I thought he said posties.
All right, let's try. I did too. Let's try Jake in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, the emo kid came home from school and told his dad he lost his virginity. His dad said, well, son, you have any questions? He said, yeah, I got one. When's my butt going to quit hurting?
Okay. All right, just one more. We got to go out on an up note.
This is going to be a good one.
You think Jeff would look into Gale? You feel good about him?
I do, yes.
All right, Jeff.
Go ahead.
All right, what do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
What do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
What?
Not enough cement.
Okay, all right. All right, there you go. That's better. We're sorry, emo kids.
Don't
cut yourself.
No.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. We'll get right back to the best of Kevin and Bean in just a few minutes. But it's Ralph, your old radio pal here, and I've got some business to take care of. All weekend long, you had the chance to win tickets to see the Beastie Boys at the Greek Theater on August the 20th. And everyone who won those tickets entered to win a grand prize, which is a trip to Boston to see the band perform live at the Bank of America Pavilion on August the 6th. It's a round-trip tickets to Boston, spending cash, tickets to the show. It's really a cool event. Jed, you saw the... Where's the weirdest place you ever saw the Beastie Boys?
106...
Jed, I said that already.
I saw the Beastie Boys in Vallejo with Adam Ant. We were eating Quaaludes and the sausages wrapped in bacon that you get from the vendors in the parking lot.
Wow, must have been a good time. Must have been a good time. Let's dial up our grand prize winner and let him know he is the recipient. With any luck, the winner will be home, and we can talk to him live.
Hello?
Sean?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ralph from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah? Hey.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, let me ask you a question, Sean. How would you like to see the Beastie Boys in Boston?
I would like that very much so.
Well, it's very convenient because you happen to be our grand prize winner.
Are you kidding me?
We're going to fly you to Boston. You're going to see the band perform live at the Bank of America Pavilion in Boston on August 6th. You are our grand prize winner.
No way!
Way!
What? No! I don't even know what to say.
Well, if you don't want it, we can give it to somebody else, dude.
No, I'm taking it. That's mine.
Do you have your passport in order? Because, you know, Boston, I think it's a whole other country and some junk.
Really, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-oh.
Congratulations. We're going to fly you and a friend out there. We're going to give you some spending cash. You get to hang out and see the Beasties in Boston.
Awesome.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're going to call you back and give you all the details, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, Sean.
All right.
Sean Bracken, our winner of our grand prize. That's pretty cool. That's a good way to wake up.
Yeah, and especially because he actually seemed happy. You know,
absolutely. Seems like a real Beastie fan. We'll enjoy it. Well, we go from one amazing prize right to another. We've got another contest to announce right now.
No way.
I'm going to do it. You can't stop
me. Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's called the Warped Tour Intern Contest. Let me try that again. The Warped Tour Intern Contest. All week long, K-Rock has your free tickets for the Vans Warped Tour. At your choice of the Pomona Fairplex on June 29th or the Home Depot Center on August the 25th. The tour starts and ends here in SoCal. But this is what the cool thing is about the contest. It's the ultimate summer job. You get to be an intern at the concert.
For like a date? For like one date?
No, the whole tour.
No.
Yes.
Tell me it's not true.
You'll even get paid.
What?
Unlike being an intern here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
You'll be given different jobs all summer long. One day you might be Mike Ness's water boy. Another day you could be, I don't know, bagging groupies for Bad Religion. But you'll travel to all 45 stops on the tour. You'll have your very own bunk on the tour bus. You'll eat meals with the crew and everything. You get to work the Warped Tour, which sounds like just the chance of a lifetime. You can go to krock.com for all the details. It's going to be pretty cool.
And from time to time, we like to turn you on to a new website that we found that we think is fantastic.
This is one that I like very much.
Yesterday we were telling you the biggest waste of time on the entire internet is Psycho Mike's dog Lola's MySpace page. Now we're going to show you an example of, rather than just complain, rather than just tear down, we're going to build up now and show you what the internet is good for. We're going to talk about a fantastic site that everyone should visit, and it is ratemyturban.com.
Oh my God.
Ash Singh is its creator. He's on the line with us now on K-Rock. Good morning, Ash.
Good morning. How's it going? Greetings from Singapore.
Oh, is that where you are? Okay. Check you out. Wow. Yeah. All right. Ash, RateMyTurban.com has, well, it's taken over my life. It's really all I have time to do anymore. My livestock isn't being fed anymore. I'm not taking the trash out. I just do RateMyTurban. It's so addictive. It's outstanding work, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's actually interesting. Just to give you a bit of my background, I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. So my roots are in Canada. I spent a lot of time in the U.S.
Right.
And I'm a practicing Sikh, so I myself wear a turban and I keep my hair. And after 9/11, we found as a community there was a lot of hate crimes towards the Sikh community. Mm-hmm. As you might know, 99.9% of the people in the U.S. that wear turbans are Sikh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so what I wanted to do was figure out a way how we could educate the public. You know, like I didn't want to. You know, there's a lot of legal stuff going on, people throwing lawsuits against everybody.
Right.
But I wanted something that was fun, a good way to educate people about what the turban is to us as a community.
Right.
And share it with other people, because that's one way we can reach out. And, you know, when people read about it, when people raid each other's turbans, they can learn how to tie a turban on the site as well.
Oh, I didn't realize there was any of that education stuff. I thought you just raided it and moved on to the next one. That's all I thought.
Yeah, well, on the top right, there's a section that says learn how to tie a turban. So there's videos there.
Okay.
So if you have a little bit more free time, feel free to go in. And, you know, I can send you a turban from Singapore and you can try it yourself.
I don't see us having that much time.
Ash, forgive me for this tangent, but since you brought it up, what is the religious significance for a practicing Sikh? What does the turban represent?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. And, you know, I figured you'd ask that question. I wanted to see how I could relate it to the American people.
Okay.
And the Sikh turban was given to us by our 10th guru and is a sign for freedom of religion, equality among all people, and the right for people to earn an honest living, and for liberty and justice for all. It was a very important part of our identity.
So your turban is the same as our Declaration of Independence and our entire government.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is if the U.S. Constitution had begun as a spiritual movement, it might have been the Sikh religion, actually.
Okay.
Do you wake up in the morning?
That might be a pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
A little, yeah. Do you wake up in the morning, Ash, and you, of course, you don't sleep in the turban, right?
No, well, what I do is I every morning, a practicing Sikh, we don't actually cut our hair. So I have never cut my hair. I've actually never been to a barber shop
ever
in my life.
You've never cut your hair one time?
Life. Never.
What's the significance of not cutting your hair for your whole life?
Well, this is another thing that was ordained for us, and we treat hair as a gift from God. This is something that was given to us, and we cherish it, and we keep it clean. We comb our hair in the morning every day, and we tie our hair neatly in a bun at the top of our head, and we tie the turban around it to keep our hair clean as well.
So when you
see people with the Sikhs wearing the turbans, you know, most of them have never actually cut their hair ever in their life.
Ash, you save so much money.
Ash, you're not going to get this, but I want to ask Bean, is it possible that Jed the Fish is a Sikh? Because he ties it on the bun on top of his head.
He may have converted. We may not have known. Two things real quick on that, Ash, and this is a fascinating conversation that we were not at all expecting to have, so I'm so glad we have you on the line. First of all, what happens to, there certainly must be Sikhs who are not hairy guys who have the male pattern baldness and lose all their hair young. Does that mean that they have less to offer the religion?
No, absolutely not. You know, and the thing is that, you know, our fathers, you know, as you get older, yes, the baldness hits everybody. It's not Sikhs don't avoid being bald. So,
but do you laugh at other people who lost their hair?
Ha ha!
No.
But the beauty of wearing a turban, is that you can conceal it at all times.
Yeah, true.
You don't have to, you know, go to the hair club for men or anything like that.
Right, right. And the other question that I would start to ask is, there must be some mornings, though, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that you wake up and you just go, I just don't want to tie that damn turban on again. Seriously, it's like it's getting old. I mean, don't you ever feel that way? Isn't it sometimes a burden?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. And the thing is, the turban for us was given to us as an identity, and part of our identity, when it was, the identity was given to us, the turban, it was very meaningful for us because we were seen in the community as people that would protect for righteousness, for justice.
Right.
And when I wake up in the morning, just like Sikhs all over, you know, the 500,000 Sikhs that wear turbans in the U.S., when they wake up in the morning, they feel like they have that urge to represent themselves and represent the community and serve the community.
I got to tell you,
what we feel we're here to do.
This is not the direction that I thought Rate My Turban was going to go.
No, but it's fascinating. I'm really enjoying it.
I mean, it's for a guy who is serious about getting his message out. You have a great sense of humor.
Well, I appreciate that. And we've had a lot of success. The BBC did an interview on turbans, did a documentary on turbans just last month, and we were able to get a lot of exposure for it. And we were Yahoo site of the day, April 27th. So we've had a lot of good feedback, you know, and it's kind of lighthearted. And it's a way for us to communicate who we are as a community and let people share this with us. There's people on the site that aren't Sikh that have learned to tie the turban and uploaded their photo.
I wish more people had your positive outlook on life and your desire to change instead of just complaining about everything.
Instead of just being angry all the time. Yeah, or just bitching. Yeah. You know, I would imagine that the biggest, and we really are out of time here, Ash, but I would imagine one of the biggest frustrations for you and your Sikh brethren in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years has been people probably automatically assume you're a bad Iraqi when they see you on the street, right? I imagine you get that confused a lot with people, right?
Yeah, and you're right that it has happened. There's been some hate crimes that have resulted even in deaths in the U.S. And our approach, you know, is just to communicate through love, communicate, understand, share these experiences, and be patient. And, you know, we've been in the – Sikhs have been in the U.S. for over 100 years, and we've contributed immensely to the community, to the economy. And this is, you know, a step – you know, this has been a hurdle over the last 5 years since 9/11, but I think we're all moving in the right direction. And by God's grace and, you know, getting on radio with you guys and just sharing our experiences, it's very good. Yeah, I thank you guys for the opportunity as well.
Bean, I'd just like to point out that Ash is a much more positive influence in the world than you and I will ever be.
Well, there's no question about that. He's doing good work. And by the way, the man's in Singapore. Best phone connection we've ever had on this show. I can't even understand how he did that. Ash Singh is the creator of RateMyTurban.com. We barely had time to talk about how funny it is. 690 turbans on the site right now with over 600,000 ratings. If you ever did a Hot or Not, it's the same concept, but with turbans. Great work, Ash, and best to you. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
The announcement about a half hour ago, K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 5 is your chance to spend the entire summer with the Vans Warped Tour.
This may be one of the coolest things we've ever given away. The qualifying prize is awesome, too. It's the opening date of the Warped Tour in Pomona on June 29th, or the last date of the tour at the Home Depot Center in Carson on August 25th. So you get that automatically. You get that when you call in and win. But then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing to tour with the Warped Tour all summer long. Be their intern, get paid, work with the bands, work in the production office on all 45 stops. And, of course, you're also qualified for that Chevy HHR and a year's worth of free gas. Another chance to qualify is coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Chris Cornell just after the top of the hour. Right now it's time for the showbiz with Ralph.
It is 7:55 here on the world-famous K-Rock. We'll get back to the best of Kevin and Bean in just a few moments. In the meantime, how about all the new showbiz news here on the Showbiz Beat? When is a movie that makes $32 million a failure? Well, if it's Evan Almighty, it did pretty well in its debut weekend. $32 million, good enough to make it number one at the box office. However, movie insiders are saying that's considered poor performance for this film, given its price tag. It cost $175 million to make, the most expensive comedy ever. And Universal Pictures was hoping for a kickoff weekend of at least the mid to high 30s in order to show that it was going to recoup its cost. As of right now, looks like it might be considered one of the biggest failures of the summer.
I could see that. It's getting uniformly bad reviews.
Well, like I told you, watching that trailer, you can just see, I mean, the beard growing bit. Tim Allen did that 10 years ago in Santa Claus, right? Where he couldn't shave, the beard kept growing back.
Yeah.
And then all the animals doing stuff, helping along. It's Dr. Doolittle, right? Right there?
If you're stealing from Tim Allen.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, come on.
Unless you're going, oh. The other top 10 movies at the box office, 1408. In its debut, made $20 million. That's the John Cusack thriller based on the Stephen King story. Psycho Mike, you saw that, right?
I did. Very good movie. I highly recommend it. But do not go unless you want to be scared. I mean, it's a freak show. It's pretty intense.
Sam Jackson didn't much. Seems to me like he's got a pretty small role.
He does, but it's effective.
Yeah.
And, when you see the movie, you realize why it's kind of a smaller role, and he plays it well.
Because it's basically just Cusack in that room the whole time, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot out of John Cusack as far as, you know, being an actor. Because, like you said, I mean, the environment for 90% of the movie is just that hotel room.
Yeah. So. Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer was number 3 at the box office. Then Ocean's 13, Knocked Up. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End was number 6. Surf's Up was 7. Shrek the Third, Nancy Drew, and then A Mighty Heart, the new Angelina Jolie movie, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Speaking of movies, make sure you tune in tomorrow. I will be having a live interview with Shia LaBeouf.
Ooh.
Actor who stars, of course, in The Transformers. It comes out next week. I cannot wait. He was also in Disturbia earlier this year, one of my favorite movies of the year. And he's currently filming Indiana Jones 4. And I heard a rumor, I'll have to talk to him about this tomorrow, but that he's going to take over the franchise. He is going to be the new face of the Indiana Jones films. He's going to take over as Indy's son, and he's going to be our new action hero. So
no career for him.
No. Guy's struggling. I feel bad for the kid, but I'll do what I can to give him some advice. Maybe you can help him out. Here's a nice surprise. This weekend at the Verizon Amphitheater in Orange County, where Gwen Stefani was performing her solo show, audiences got a treat. For the encore, out walked on stage the rest of No Doubt.
That's ludicrous.
No Doubt. Place went crazy. Gwen and the boys performed Just a Girl, Spiderwebs, It's My Life, and the audience in Irvine, as you can imagine, went crazy. Hometown crowd enjoying that. Also, Saturday night, same thing happened. Just a Girl, Hella Good, Sunday Morning, and Spiderwebs were performed. The band's getting back together. They're going to release an album in 2008, and I, for one, am looking forward to it. Not that I don't like Gwen's solo stuff. Not that I'm not a big fan of the Lonely Goat Herd and yodeling. But I'm looking forward to some No Doubt music.
No, for sure.
It's been a while.
And definitely K-Rock's, you know, itching to get some more No Doubt music, yeah, you know?
Because we can't always play Gwen's solo stuff.
Well, yodeling
might be a little light for us.
It deviates from what the direction the station's trying to go, I think.
I would agree. I
mean, no bigwig.
Paris Hilton's going to give her first post-prison interview not to Meredith Vieira over there on the Today Show, as NBC was reportedly going to pay her $1 million for the rights to that interview. However, that deal has fallen apart, if you believe the insiders. Now, instead, she will be talking Wednesday night to the most hard-hitting investigative journalist on television, Larry King.
That's going to be good.
Was prison tough for you? Did you sleep? What did you eat?
Those kind of questions we're going to be getting from Larry. Yeah, it's going to be Wednesday night. She's supposed to get out today at some time. And speaking of the Larry King show, tonight on CNN, I think it's 6 o'clock here in the Los Angeles area, our pal Harvey Levin will be sitting in for Larry King.
Oh.
And he will be talking to Paris's lawyer, Richard Hutton, as well as an official from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department talking about the case. So, Harvey, getting a little TV time.
Good for Harvey.
Cool. Yeah. Speaking of Paris, by the way, this is a great story. She's got more problems than just jail. You know, she gets out today. But according to Star Magazine, she forgot to make some payments on her Mercedes SLR, the same one she got the DUI in, and the car was repossessed.
Oh, my God.
How awesome is that? So she comes out of jail with no car.
All right, so you're a repo guy, right?
Yeah.
Day in and day out, you're breaking through windows, sneaking in at nighttime to make sure you don't have some cholo come out with a shotgun and get you for taking his Cutlass or whatever.
Right.
And you get called up by your boss. And he's like, all right, I need you to go down to Beverly Hills. I need you to pick up Paris Hilton's SLK.
Get your Jimmy. Go out and get the car.
Oh.
It's the greatest thing ever. I'd be going through the glove compartment. I'd be looking under the seats.
Oh, like they didn't?
Find all kind of DNA down there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And lastly, here's a little treat for Psycho Mike, who's sitting in with me here in the studio this week as I do the Showbiz Beat. I wanted to give him a little something-something, so I'm going to announce the new In Touch Weekly Magazine poll of the stars with the best chest.
Oh.
And I mentioned this to Psycho Mike off-air, and he goes, I can name those five guys.
Oh.
I know pecs. So let's see how well you
I'm
know.
I'm no stranger to pecs, buddy.
Your big fruit cup. Let's see how many of the top five you can name. Right.
All
give
right. Well,
give me the top five.
Listen,
stars with best chests.
If your man Matt McConaughey is not on the list, it's bogus. If he's not number one, in fact, I would say it's bogus.
He is on the list. I'll have you know, Matthew McConaughey is number third on the list.
Okay.
Third means there's two above him and two below him, just the way you like it, Psycho Mike.
Matt McConaughey. You said this is Us Weekly?
No, this is In Touch Weekly.
In Touch Weekly. Same kind of thing. I'm going to say, because I have so many pictures of him with his shirt off, I'm going to say Mario Lopez is on that list.
Mario Lopez, number one.
Boom!
Psycho Mike,
yeah.
Number one. You're two for two.
All right.
I need the second, the fourth, and the fifth. You big fruit platter.
Daniel Craig or... I'm going to say Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is number two. Number two on the list. You're three for three. Now you got to fill out the bottom two. Fourth and fifth slots. I'm guaranteeing you're not going to get these two. I'm guaranteeing you.
All right.
It's only a four-hour show, Mike.
Jesse Metcalf.
Not on the list.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It was a good run, though.
It was a good run. You had the top three. That's what matters. Josh Duhamel.
Well, that's just dumb.
Number four. He always struck me as sort of a slender fellow.
He's an unbelievably handsome guy. Intimidatingly handsome guy.
Yeah.
But come on. Best chest? No.
And number five. You're going to freak out. John Mayer. Singer John Mayer.
That's a good funny joke, Ralph, but who's
he's the fifth. America has spoken. They say he's got the fifth best chest of all the stars.
He's Diesel. I can see that.
He's not Diesel.
No,
he's not Swole.
He's very scrawny.
Are you upset you're not on the list?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really a celebrity, but I'm definitely... Besides
you know pecs.
Matt McConaughey, you can run with those guys.
Today's celebrity birthdays, director Sidney Lumet. One of our best. If you've never seen Serpico or Network or some of his other brilliant films, you should stop by the video store and pick him up. He's 83 years old today. George Michael, of course, from Wham. That's Falco. From slumping over his steering wheel, you know George Michael, 44 years old today. Ricky Gervais, the original star of the original Office in the original England. He's 46 years old today. Mike Kroger from Nickelback's 33. Linda Cardellini and Busy Phillips, both alumni from Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite TV shows. They both celebrate their birthdays today. Linda is 32 and Busy Phillips is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We were going to work that stuff out. But in a situation like that, it's like at some point the negotiating and the politicizing of how we're going to deal with going forward as a band becomes kind of annoying, and we all should just be making music, really. So, you know, those guys are doing what they do, and they're having a good time, I hope, and I think, you know, getting back with Rage and playing shows is actually a great thing
for
everybody.
Yeah. I agree, but and it's good that you're doing your thing, too.
Yeah, and I made a record, and we're all playing music, and going through life where friends died of drug overdoses, something like this, where we made three great records and then we kind of go our separate ways and move on and make good music, that's not a tragedy. That's
no big
a good
deal.
Thing.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Fantastic.
It's funny because you guys had such instant chemistry when you got together. Remember, you were writing songs, the first 20 minutes you guys were in a room together, you were cranking out songs. And I got the impression from you all along whenever we'd talk to you during the course of Audioslave that it was solid and that it seemed like the kind of band that could be together for 10 albums.
It could have been. I think it could have been.
Except for
and now I look at it as though I wish I would have dreamed it up in the beginning and said, well, we're working on a trilogy.
This will be the last one ever.
Exactly. And once we finish the trilogy, it's going to be really difficult spiritually to move on.
Let me ask you this, Chris, because people will be speculating. Did their desire to work with Rage again come up, and that led to a quicker demise of Audioslave because they saw a possibility to kind of get back together with that band?
Possibly. I don't know. Like, in the back of my mind, in a way, it was sort of like, you're having problems with your girlfriend, and now you hear she's dating her ex-boyfriend, or they went and saw each other. It kind of would make you feel like less concerned about what they're doing.
Sure.
I mean, it made me feel like, oh, I'm making my record. They're doing a show with Rage and Tom is doing a solo record, which is Night Watchman, and he's been working on that for years.
Right.
It didn't feel like anyone's left in the lurch. Everybody's busy. Everybody's happy doing things. So yeah, that kind of made it easier for me to make up my mind. But I think the biggest thing really is when there's absence, when you're not together doing stuff and you're doing things on your own separately, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to realize, wow, I really think we should get back together and make music. I really miss doing that. Or you're going to think, I really enjoy what I'm doing now. I think I'll do that instead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with me.
Chris, did it help that you're, or help or hurt that you're a goddamn frog, that you're living over there in France while the rest of us are here in right-thinking, freedom-loving America?
Aren't you doing an L.A. radio show from a city and a state that does not like anyone from California?
That's correct. All of that is true. Accurate. Yes, believe me. But, I mean, I would imagine the distance, I mean, it would be tough to, hey, come over and jam this weekend if you're living in Europe, right? I mean, did that contribute to the problem, or were you guys able to work that out?
That wasn't that big of a deal. I came here pretty readily whenever we needed to work. And the band itself, like, it wasn't like we were a kind of band that needed months and months of rehearsal to play a show or to make a record. You know, that wasn't that big of a factor.
Okay.
It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's totally doable.
Sure. Why do you live in France, by the way? There aren't, I mean, there are some, but there are very few high-profile Americans that actually end up moving out of America and loving it. What's that deal about? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I think if anybody that is an American, born and raised, has the ability, the means, whatever it might be, to live outside of the U.S. and feel what it's like to be a foreigner for a while, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a great learning experience. It's a great learning experience to see that other people outside the U.S. have different attitudes and what those attitudes are. And a city like Paris as well, it's not necessarily that it's France the way that I look at it. It's more like being in a city like New York. It's very international, and you run into people. I have more friends that aren't French there than anyone else. And you run into a lot of different ways of thinking, different attitudes towards Americans. And then lastly, for me, and the one thing that I really enjoy is I kind of like the language barrier, which creates this certain isolation, and nobody really tries to speak to me, which I like.
I was just going to ask if you speak French. You don't speak French.
No, I can read it. I can sort of understand it. Speaking it is hard, especially for an American. I mean, they make sounds that we don't make.
Right.
And we've never heard them.
Right.
You know, I can pronounce Spanish words very easily. My wife is Greek. They speak Greek. To pronounce a Greek word is not that difficult.
Right.
To understand it is, but with French, it's easy to understand, hard to say.
So you like that people can't talk to you. You can actually just kind of keep to yourself.
Yeah, and I look pretty American, so people don't necessarily want to, you know, come up and be warm. Not that people are specifically warm there anyway.
No, they're not. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that, and I haven't traveled nearly as much as you have, but I have been to a few countries around the world, and one of the things that I notice whenever I'm someplace for more than a few days is all the stuff that we become obsessed with, that occupies hours after hours after hours on television, that we think is important stuff, just evaporates. It just vanishes. It means so little to the rest of the world, which is most of the world.
Right. That's exactly my point. That's exactly kind of what I went through when I first went there. And then there are aspects of like life on television and modern media that they emulate. But it ends up being different. Like, they have all of the American Idol shows in each country in Europe from place to place.
Right.
Only they sing different songs.
A French Idol?
Yeah, there's a French-American Idol, only they all kind of live in a house and hate each other. And, you know, but then, you know, they're trying to be pop stars. And that stuff is really popular.
Yeah.
And obviously it started here. But the content and how they deal
Britain.
With it is... it did start in Britain, didn't it?
Yeah, Pop Idol, yeah.
You watch that show?
No, I don't really tend to watch much TV.
I love you for that.
But I would think the French contestants, being French, would all quit, right? They would just surrender early. They would just say, I'm not even going to come back for another week.
Not before they cry.
Wait a minute. That's a Hispanic accent.
I can't do accents. Come on.
Well,
you're lucky it's not my Indian guy.
Hispanic accent.
All right. You know how I am.
Squeeze in a couple of questions. Christina in West Covina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on with Chris Cornell.
I'd like to ask how becoming a dad has affected your music writing.
Well, it changes the way that I do it, and like literally, I write at home and I kind of demo at home. I plug in electric guitars like right into a recording machine, so I don't have any amplified music going on, so I don't wake kids up. And and when I get tired or bored or stuck or something, I go outside and my kids are there, my family's there, which is actually really great. I thought that might not work, and then I just decided to try it, and it's
good.
It's great. It works great.
Fantastic.
You've got two young kids now at home, is that right?
I have a 2.5-year-old girl and a 15-month-old boy.
Okay. Have you written any songs that maybe we'll see on your solo album, June 5th, that are inspired by them or are about them?
I think there are little bits of my children in songs that just sort of appear, and it kind of comes and goes. Like the Audioslave records, the song Out of Exile was kind of about the birth of my 2.5-year-old girl, and just how that changed my life. And from a previous marriage, I have a 6-year-old daughter as well. And becoming a father, also there's a concern where, as a rock singer and a songwriter, you know, you kind of can be sort of self-absorbed and self-possessed, and it's a lot easier to rebel against everything and not care what happens to you when you don't have children. And now, you know, having a being very close to my wife, having a very tight marriage, and having children with me all the time when I'm not working, you know, my concerns are different, and that shows up. You know, sometimes even if it's just a line in a song, I notice it, and it's something that I would never have written before.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I bet your wife is really hot, too, right?
My wife is extra hot.
She's got to be hot. I mean, let's face it. Has Chris Cordell ever had to have sex with the ugly girl? I say no.
Chris Cordell is here. He's going to do a little Soundgarden for us now. How about that? Live music on K-Rock.
Won't you
That's something else. Kevin, those guys are so good. I don't know how you're going to break them up. I mean, seriously, that is a great sounding band right there.
It's a shame that couldn't sound better, doesn't it? Isn't it? First half, Dave the King of Mix will come into the studio in there and give us his Eddie Vedder impression.
Oh.
Yeah, have him come to that.
Is he going
to
join in on Hunger
Strike?
Well,
maybe. I mean, if Chris likes it, maybe. We'll just have to have,
Chris Cordell is here, by the way. The new CD is called Carry On. It'll be out on June 5th. You can get your tickets for Chris at the Avalon with this. This is the band that's going to be playing that night with you, right, Chris?
Yes, that's right.
And here's David King of Mexico as Eddie Vedder.
Oh, you want to hear my version?
Uh-huh. Go.
And I'm going hungry. Come on, that works, right?
Sorry about that. Get out. Okay. Chris Cordell is here. One last song, yes? Hunger Strike?
Hunger Strike, yeah.
Fantastic. Live on K-Rock.
I don't mind stealing bread from miles of decadence. But I can't feed on the powerless when the cup's already overfilled. Yeah. But it's on the table, the fire's cooking, and the thawing babies with flames are all working. The blood is on the table and their mouths are choking, and I'm going hungry. Yeah, I don't mind stealing bread from the mouth. But I can't feed on the powerless when my cup's already overfilled. Mm-hmm. But it's on the table, the fire's cooking, and the farming babies, the slaves are all working. The blood is on the table and the mouths are choking. Going hungry. I'm going hungry. Going hungry. I'm going hungry. Going hungry. I'm going hungry.
And some bad, bad news from our friends in the East.
You guys know the name Chang Chang? It's that giant panda?
That was the premiere of China, I think, in the 70s,
right? No, it's the giant panda.
The one they were having trouble with.
Yes, the one that they were trying to mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they
I
couldn't
remember.
End up mating. Well, they released him into the wild. They taught him how to, you know,
oh, no
survive,
kidding.
And they released him into the wild.
Uh-huh.
And he died.
What?
Oh,
what happened to him?
No kidding.
Apparently, did he get sick or
fell out of a tree? Apparently, was being attacked by the wild pandas.
Oh,
according to the Wolong Giant Panda Research Center in Sichuan.
That's terrible.
That is very sad because pandas, you know, there aren't many of them left in the wild anymore. So
very few.
It's tough to lose one like that. Well, I wonder what the deal was there because I know they had prepped him for, it seemed like a couple of years in order to release him to the wild and be fine, right?
3 years they prepped
3 years, no kidding. They didn't do a good job.
Calling the Wolong Giant Panda Research Center in Sichuan.
Hey!
Hello?
Yes, is this the Wolong Center?
Yeah, motherfucker, what you want?
Whoa, hey. What's going on here? We're calling to get an interview about the sad death of the panda.
He's not sad, man. He f***ing died because he deserved it.
Whoa. Whoa.
Who is this? Who's answering the phone there at the Panda Research Center?
I'm Kung Kong, leader of the wild pandas.
Oh, you're a panda?
That's right, motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a panda. I'm the leader of the wild pandas. It's my gang.
So the wild pandas are a gang, okay?
That's right, motherfucker.
So what went wrong with Shang Shang? Why did you guys have to shank him?
I didn't shank him, man.
Okay.
He just f***ed that because he... You know what Shang Shang stand for in Chinese?
No, what does he stand for?
Pussy. He was a f***ing pussy, man.
Well, first of all, if you can watch your language because we are on the radio here, but
hey,
what
why don't you watch my panda c***? Man.
Oh, jeez, dude.
It's what hard was to your... find out all this fur, but it's there, bitch.
Okay, but what was your problem with Shang Shang? Shang Shang seemed like a nice panda, was just trying to be reintroduced into the wild after a couple of years away. What's wrong with that?
He was soft, man.
But they took 3 years. He learned to build a den, forage for food, mark his territory. He developed defensive skills.
Yeah, he had some great defensive skills.
Well, they might have worked on that a little more.
For 3 years, they tried to train him to get back into the wild.
Pussy fell out of a tree.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Pandas live in motherfucking trees.
Yeah.
And he fell out of one.
Right, but he was forced out, from what we understand.
Listen, we tried to jump him into our gang.
Uh-huh.
And he just fell out of the tree.
Okay, but you chased him into the tree. He was probably scared. He was probably nervous. I mean, well, I'm just saying.
I'm a scared panda.
But he's been living, you know, he's been living with people. He's had the soft life, like you said, and all of a sudden you gave him a bad, bad introduction into the wild.
That's not the way it worked in the jungle.
Yeah.
You gotta be tough.
Well, how is he supposed to get jumped into your game?
First of all, we jump him, man. We beat the crap out of him.
Okay.
Then he has to get in a car without his lights on and drive around. And then when someone flashes his light, he has to kill them.
Okay.
Oh, I've seen that email. Okay, I know what you're talking about, right?
And then he become a wild panda. We give him a jacket and everything.
I see.
You give the wild panda a jacket.
Well, yeah, it's a fur jacket. Looks like a panda fur. But still, then he gets to be a wild panda, and then we give him one of our bitches with a little teardrop tattooed on the side of her eye.
I see. Wow, that's a tough life.
But he couldn't... Take it, man.
Yeah,
very much like they do it here, I guess. So the Wolong Center says they're not going to be swayed by this disaster in their mind. They're going to keep continuing to try to release pandas into the wild. So you'll be looking for them, I guess.
Yeah, bring them on. Now, we take them on, bitch. We jump them all in.
Now, what's your name? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I forgot, too.
Okay. now they say that they're going to...
Just call me badass motherfucker. Panda.
We can't say that, though.
I just did.
They say that they're going to release a girl panda next time, a female.
Oh.
That you won't be so hard on the female.
Right.
I'll be hard on her.
Okay, that's what she said.
Oh, my bamboo shoot is rising. You're talking about it.
This is wrong.
This is not good.
Suck my shoot. Suck the bamboo, bitch.
Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Thank you, Kevin. It's 8:58 here on the world-famous K-Rock, KROQ-FM, 106.7 Pasadena, Los Angeles. We'll get right back to the best of Kevin and Bean, but first I've got some showbiz news. Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week. I'll be here all week bringing you the latest in the Showbiz Beat. Speaking of which, make sure you tune in tomorrow at this time. I will be having a live interview with Shia LaBeouf, who stars not only in Transformers, but was in Disturbia earlier this year, and is going to be in the new Indiana Jones 4 movie. So we got a lot to talk about with that young man. He makes me feel bad about myself.
I know.
This is a kid who, I don't know what he was, 10 or 11 or whatever he did.
He took it upon himself to go into the phone book and start calling talent agents. He found his own agent because he wanted to be an actor. And he just said, screw it, I'm just going to make it happen. And now look at him. I was busy stuffing my face full of Oreos watching Batman reruns. And he's out there making a life for himself.
So at 10, he had more ambition.
Than I do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of movies, the top 10 movies at the box office, Evan Almighty came in at number one with $32 million. That may sound like a lot of money, but in reality, movie insiders are saying it's not enough. Evan Almighty was the most expensive comedy ever made with a price tag of, well, some accounts have it at $175 million. So they were saying that the Universal movie would have to open at around, well, mid-30s. Ideally, like 40 or something like that, in order to start making its money back. So, disappointed with the returns on Evan Almighty this weekend. Number two at the box office, 1408, the John Cusack movie based on the Stephen King short story. You saw that, right, Mike?
Yeah. Comes highly recommended for
good
me.
Stuff.
Very scary.
Fantastic Four was number three. Ocean's 13 was number four. Excuse me. Knocked Up was number four, five. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End was six, Surf's Up at number seven, then Shrek the Third, Nancy Drew, and A Mighty Heart, the brand new Angelina Jolie movie, debuting with just $4 million, came in at number 10. Well, Paris Hilton is not going to be talking to the Today Show over there on NBC, as we were led to believe last week. You may remember the story where rumors had it that NBC was paying $1 million to Paris in order to get her on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira for her first post-prison interview. Instead, Paris will be talking Wednesday night to Larry King.
Oh,
here's what,
that's hot.
Here's what Paris had to say. I am thrilled that Larry King has asked me to appear on his program to discuss my experience in jail, what I have learned, and how I have grown, and anything else he wants to talk about. Larry King is not only a world-renowned journalist, but a true American icon. It will be an honor to do his show. Yeah, Paris said that. Yeah, I'm sure she put that together.
Of course, yeah. Uh-huh.
Speaking of, our pal from TMZ.com, Harvey Levin, will be on The Larry King Show tonight, guest hosting for Larry. He'll be talking about the Paris Hilton case, including talking with her lawyer, Richard Hutton, and an official from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. So tune in and check out Harvey.
Harvey deserves to be in front of the camera. He's a handsome man.
Oh, stop sucking up. You're not getting the job at TMZ
TV. I'm just saying.
Speaking of Paris, got more problems than just jail. According to Star Magazine, she forgot to make some payments on her Mercedes, and the car got repossessed. I love that more than anything. I'd like her to have more bad things happen.
It seems as if every aspect of her life is taken care of by other people, and she just really doesn't realize any. She doesn't have to face any of the normal responsibilities that adults do.
No.
You know, like pay her car registration, parking ticket, all that.
She has no skills. She has no skill set in terms of functioning in the world.
I fully believe, like, she did not know she was driving under a suspended license.
I do, too. I believe her crime was largely one of stupidity.
Just, I don't know.
That she just goes through life oblivious, which I think is worse than like, being a drunk like Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears or whatever. I think just to be ignorant by choice is almost inexcusable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of TMZ.com, if you go to that website, you know, it's our favorite entertainment news website. There's a great new picture up there of Brandon Davis, who they call Greasy Bear, on the website. It's very interesting. Brandon, what are you doing with your shirt off over there in Miami, apparently all greased up? Well, what was that all about, Brandon?
I was bathing because Lindsay Lohan, the fire crotch,
yeah, right.
Thought, the motel.
Thought that might have something to do with it.
Disgusting.
Hey, this is pretty cool. This weekend at the Verizon Amphitheater down there in Irvine, Gwen Stefani was doing her solo show when along came the encore, and guess who stepped out on stage? Her No Doubt buddies.
Aww.
As you can imagine, the crowd went wild, and the band performed together. On Friday night, they did Just a Girl, Spiderwebs, and It's My Life. And then on Saturday night, they also came out for the encore doing Just a Girl, Hella Good, Sunday Morning, Spiderwebs. I'm glad to see that band back together again. Apparently, they're looking to release a new CD in 2008 sometime, so we're going to get some new music from No Doubt, which is
I'm very happy very that cool. the band's getting back together, because I don't know if you've heard her solo stuff lately. We have a little clip. It's getting
really?
A little rough.
I really
look at your watch now! You're a super hot female! You got $1 million contract! And you're still waiting for your hot track!
Wow. Yeah, she has lost a step or two.
What's she waiting for from this weekend?
Wow. Yeah, she needs the band back. She needs the band back together. Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's see. Jimmy J.J. Walker. Dynamite. He's 60 years old today. Ricky Gervais, one of my favorite actors in the world. He was the star of the original British version of The Office. He can also be seen on Extras over there on HBO. Apparently, that's all over. He's going to do one more special, like a Christmas special for the Extras, and then move on to something else.
It's a sharp guy.
That's the way the Brits work. They don't let those TV series run forever until they're horrible, you know?
That's the way to go.
They
hit
and run.
Don't let it jump the shark.
Yeah.
You know?
But you don't make the cash that way either, though.
Yeah.
He's 46 years old.
That's capitalist, you know.
That's right. Mike Kroger from Nickelback's 33 years old today. Linda Cardellini and Busy Phillips, both former stars of Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite TV shows. Linda can now be seen on ER. Busy Phillips was, of course, from Dawson's Creek. She also was on ER. Linda's 32. Busy Phillips is 28 years old today. And George Michael, did we mention him? Former Wham star, singer, pop icon. Nope. That would be Thomas Dolby. Very different. He's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of people seem to have a preconceived notion that women aren't funny. Let's listen to this and find out if that's true or not.
So Ralph, our entertainment reporter, told us on, I don't know, Wednesday, last week, I can't remember, that there's a new show on the Oxygen Network, and it's called She-Larious. And it is for stand-up comedians that are female.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent Psycho Mike down to the auditions. They were Friday, right?
Good idea. Yeah, Friday after the show, okay. About 11 o'clock.
There aren't a lot of – I mean, when you think about, you know, legendary stand-up comedians over the decades, there aren't a lot that are women.
No. No, I mean –
not as many. I don't know why it is that it's tougher for women to make it in that business.
By the way, Joan Rivers, I know we hate her with the heat of a thousand suns, but she was a permanent fill-in for Johnny Carson. She was maybe – the biggest female comedian ever.
Yeah, you could be
huge.
Right about that.
Maybe Roseanne, I guess.
Roseanne was huge. Yeah. Obviously, there are still some today, like our friend Sarah Silverman, who's
sure.
Hilarious. I mean, she's great. She is a really, really funny
she's
woman.
She's an anomaly, though. I
mean, yeah, she's a really funny woman. But in general...
Ellen just hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, she can be funny. In general, though, it's a lot harder for women to do comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I looked at this audition for the Oxygen Network, you know, comedian show, as kind of like the Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't allowing all athletes, just the ones that had the handicap. You know?
Right. Tell us about your attitude going in, though.
So look, stand-up comedy is very hard, and I'm not going to go in there just ready to make fun of anyone, okay? I consciously made that decision. I'm driving over. So I'm going to give these girls a chance. They're doing something that's very difficult. It takes a lot of courage to do this.
It does.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's what you're famous for when it comes to women, by the way.
I'm
preying on their already damaged self-esteem.
I know my gender relations in the past haven't been the best.
Really?
So I said, I'm gonna work on it. I'm going to go over there with my eyes open, okay? My eyes and my mind wide open.
So as they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
But you have an open mind. You want to find what they say funny.
I wanted to go down there and find the next Sarah Silverman.
Right. And we told you to find us a new traffic reporter, too. Remember we said keep your eyes peeled?
That was off. Shh.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sorry.
I didn't
say that out loud.
Idiots.
Did I?
Damn
it.
That.
Then I pull up and I see a girl dressed as a cow.
What?
Waiting in line.
Oh, no.
And I say, oh, no, here we go. The girl with the wacky, zany act. You know, she's dressed as a cow. My focus is right on her. I said, I'm going to go with her. I'm going to start off right.
Cowgirl.
And I say, listen to me. Don't give me your cow shtick. Just give me a chunk of your comedy so I can see what you're working with. And she will not deviate from her, I'm really a cow. This is not a costume, zany, wacky act.
Oh,
and
no.
Listen how this goes.
Costume? I kind of wear it every day. I'm a little
you dress in a cow's outfit every day.
You kind of hurt my feelings.
Can you give me some sample of your comedy?
But I don't...
I want you to tell me a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cow. Did you see that? Because I have udders. And then I just rolled it right in there because I got milk.
Listen to me. I need you to stop with the cow stuff, with the cow shtick.
What are you trying to say?
Listen to me.
I'm all over it.
I'm asking you a serious question.
I just, you know, they were milking me all day.
Listen to me. If you don't quit with the fucking cow shtick, I'm going to punch you in your fucking head.
Oh, Mike.
I'll screw you with my udder.
Oh, my God.
Wow. She's committed to her character.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's committed.
Okay, so you went in with an open mind, and that's the first
person
you talked to.
Number one. Now my temperature's starting to boil just a little.
This is also kind of like American Idol, where everybody that shows up or who wants to be a superhero, the whole group, the auditions, right. Most of them, 99%, women, men, whatever, bad.
I'm sure there were some funny girls there. I'm just saying, I didn't find any. Okay. You know what I'm saying? There were so many there that I talked to that were bad.
But
so
Cal was first.
Is it out of line at all to threaten to beat her in the head because you don't find her funny?
No. Because I edited that down. That was like 20 minutes of cow talk. So I'm not an official-looking guy. I mean, I don't look like a journalist. You see me walking around somewhere with a microphone. I look like some bro from Cal State Fullerton doing like a senior project.
You do. You look like the opposite.
Yeah. Lightning gives me this mic flag that says K-Rock in massive bold letters you can see from like the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
So this one chick sees that, and she runs up to me and says, I'm the female Armenian comedian.
Oh, fantastic. Did you get her phone number?
And she's like 70, and I wanted to, but...
I'm in.
Listen, things don't go too well. Wait a minute.
She's the female Armenian comedian, and things don't go well?
Listen to me. I immediately start recording when she says, I'm the female Armenian comedian. This is how it goes.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm auditioning. I think so. I am the oldest person. I can be mama to all these little girls. So many bad freaking shows. I'm 57 years old, and...
You don't look a day over 70.
My teeth falling out, and I put them back in, and I just don't care anymore. I don't care.
Do you believe that female comedy is reserved for ugly women?
Who is ugly? Your mama is ugly. Your family, everybody's ugly. No, I'm beautiful from inside out, and I love show business, but I hate show business same time because you find a lot of like a stuck-up, bad attitude, kind of gorgeous and bimbo type, bad attitude.
You sound bitter that good-looking women get a lot of jobs
no,
and you're reserved auditioning for oxygen shows.
So because my son is 38 and my daughter Lou is beautiful. She's a pretty lady.
What does your son's wife have to do with your physical appearance?
I don't like assholes, and don't start an asshole attitude with me because it doesn't work.
That's right.
Be nice to me or get away from my face.
I'm just interviewing you.
Yes, you start to get a little freshened. I don't like your attitude.
You know, a sour attitude's not going to get you anywhere, young lady.
You have a sour attitude. F*** off.
Hello? Thank you.
Nice.
Wow.
So I wanted to get her info.
She approached you.
Guys, did we not send the right guy?
Well, we talked about that. Remember on Friday morning off the air during the commercials and songs, we were like, maybe Mike's not the right guy.
It's not a love fest.
But having said that...
Listen to the comedy I had to deal with. You act like I'm out of line. I'm out of line for casting aspersions on their comedic abilities. So then I see this really hot chick. Like, normally, she's dressed normally, and she's really attractive.
Right.
And I'm confused. I'm like, what is a girl like you doing here?
Don't understand why a girl like you would resort to doing comedy, which is, that's man's work.
Well, I think it's sort of my vein of gold. I look completely normal, but at any given moment, I can be completely... strange.
You can be strange?
I can be strange.
Let me get a little sample of that.
Of me being strange? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I can just... Was that strange?
What?
I'm not an expert in comedy, but I don't think that would go over well. Say it like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
It most likely wouldn't, but you guys should get your hopes up about my performance.
Can't type, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. Can't type, answer phones?
No, I'm not going to be a secretary. I can't answer phones.
And your uterus doesn't work, does it?
How'd you know?
Because that's the only reason you'd end up here.
Oh,
that is going to be a sad little show.
So much funnier than that girl.
Yeah.
Hey, she made that noise.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
It is kind of weird. It would be like somebody showing up for the American Idol auditions and then being offended when you ask them to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to do comedy, and you can't get one person to say something funny.
And they have to do like I asked the auditioning people, the evaluators, what they do. They have to do a stand-up chunk.
Guys,
so they have something prepared they could...
This is just like American Idol. They're awful comedians.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
99% of them.
After all this, and there's way more girls I talked to than I brought tape. Finally, I talked to a girl who delivers some comedy.
Really?
Who tries her best, okay? Now you can see why I might have a sour attitude when this is the jokes I'm getting.
What are you doing here today?
I am trying to be funny, funny, funny.
Let me hear you try.
Okay, give me something that you would find in your refrigerator.
Tuna.
Tuna. 185 fish walk into a bar. Bartender says, I'm sorry, we do not serve your kind here. And 185 fish say, tuna fish. I do better in the show. That one sucked. Okay.
Whoa. Time out.
What?
That was it? That was your comedy?
Give me one second.
They'll throw you in an oven in India for that show.
Oh, stop it.
That was horrible.
I'm an improviser.
I can see those improv classes are paying off.
Okay, let me try it again.
All right.
So the 185 fish say, tune out and tune in.
Holy shit.
Yeah, really bad.
All right,
really bad.
I got a joke
it's
for you.
Much better.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Looking for the tuna.
He was hoping to wander into traffic and get hit by a car because he heard you telling comedy.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow.
I'm the a-hole?
Wow.
Really?
Well, you really are an a-hole, yes. But they were bad as well.
That is going to be a tremendous show on the Oxygen Network.
God. He's going to beat American Idol, I'm guessing.
The golden age of television is here.
Ooh, Lisa, pick me, pick me, pick me.
Who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me, who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather?
Very nice. Now, Psycho Mike, you have the comparisons for her. You're going to be bringing the A's and the B's for her to choose between. And then, of course, Lisa, what you don't know, and this is new from last time we played the game, is that one of your answers will be binding today. We actually are going to hold you to it.
So someone on this list is waiting in the hallway.
Right. We're not going to tell you ahead of time, but think very, very carefully about the answers.
It that really changes it
either
all,
waiting in
it?
The hallway or waiting in Studio O, either way.
Yeah, exactly. And as Kevin described to you, unfortunately, as much as there are some combinations where you just feel like you'd rather swallow cyanide, that's not an option. You cannot take your own life. You actually have to follow through with one of them.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off with an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Brad Pitt, George Clooney.
Oh, that's hard.
Yes, it is.
Can she pick both?
No.
Gun to
your head has to be one or the other.
I'm going to have to go with George Clooney.
Fine choice.
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe, Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Fabulous actor.
Johnny Knoxville.
Fabulous.
Bam Margera. Either way, it's going to get sloppy.
Oh.
Yeah, you're messed up either way.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville.
And it's going to be videoed.
Knoxville.
Yeah,
okay.
Knoxville.
Michael Douglas, Martin.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
What?
Knoxville?
What's wrong with Knoxville?
Well, I mean, you compare him to Bam Margera. I'm no Mo, but come on.
Well, if you really look at it, he reserves most of the pain that he dishes out to. It's to himself. Whereas
right.
Bam might do something bad to Lisa.
Right.
Knoxville
right.
will probably have a bull run into him while he's banging Lisa.
Yeah. bigger career.
True.
That was for your own safety, though, part of your answer there, Lisa?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Michael the chicks do think both of those guys are real attractive, right? I mean, Knoxville certainly has his fans for his looks, and so does Bam, right?
Absolutely.
Of course. Michael Douglas, Martin Sheen.
Real old guys now.
They are old. Okay, Martin Sheen, Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Really?
He's a better looking guy.
Crinkly old 75-year-old Michael Douglas with the liver spots? Him over the President of the United States of America?
Wasn't he a sex fiend for a while?
Oh, yeah. I guess
remember
he was.
Well, so he can get the job done.
Sheen's got the genetics, though, when it comes to banging. You know?
Dean, I hate to be picky, but Martin Sheen was never the President of the United States. That was a TV show.
I very distinctly remember it. I think I even voted for him twice.
All right.
To delve into rap rock, go back about 6 years, Kid Rock or Fred Durst?
Oh, wow. God. How can you do this?
I'm just saying.
Well, I know there's only one choice.
I haven't seen Kid Rock's junk. We've all seen Fred Durst.
Yes, we also saw his belly flop over
his
junk.
Yes, we did. So I have to go with Kid Rock.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I don't know if this caveat is essential, but with that last selection, with a condom? I mean, we're talking about with protection because with those two, you got to be...
Yeah, I'm going to say everybody gets to wear a glove. Everybody gets to wear a glove.
This is a safe game.
Yeah.
Some people you have to wear two.
All right. Let's go into the NRA.
Okay.
Tom Selleck or Ted Nugent?
Tom Selleck.
Okay.
It's charming.
How about a little country music? Keith Urban, Tim McGraw.
Oh, interesting.
Both handsome men. Both talented
very
men.
Popular, both very popular sex symbols right now.
Keith Urban,
okay.
Yeah.
How about friends of the show? Bob Saget or David Alan Greer?
Bob Saget. Alan Greer, you know. Okay.
He gets into
really bad places.
But he's... hung.
Yeah, I know, but he hangs out with whores.
Okay.
We all know that.
Well, I'm sure Bob Saget only hangs out with moral people.
Well, that's a good point.
AC Slater or Zach Morris?
Oh, no.
What?
Lisa?
I can't.
Have to pick.
AC Slater.
Of course.
AC Slater was, he was Mario Lopez.
Mario
Mike?
Lopez or Mark Paul Gosselaar, right?
Mark okay. Paul Gosselaar.
At least
yeah.
they're not making you screech, Lisa.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So stick with TV themes. Jack or Sawyer?
Sawyer,
okay.
Sawyer?
Yeah.
Little Sawyer.
He's dirty.
<About that. laughs>
Macaulay Culkin, Frankie Muniz Jr.
That's a terrible choice. Frankie.
All right.
Yeah.
Brandon Davis, Kevin Federline.
Oh, God. That's just
seriously,
bad
Seriously, you
bad.
Guys, have you seen these photos of Brandon Davis lately?
Brandon
Davis, he's so disgusting.
He does.
He's always been disgusting.
That.
I got to do Kevin.
First of all, I'm going to need that clip.
Yes, you are.
All right, so you pick Kevin Federline.
I had to.
All right, Kobe or Shaq?
Oh, Kobe.
Kobe, okay.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning or Rex Grossman? Very apropos for this weekend.
Sure.
Rex?
I don't think Rex is of age yet.
I know what they look like.
I don't think he's 18.
But Rex is kind of a cool name.
Okay. I think, Lisa, from what I understand from Alex, you'll be very happy with Rex.
Yeah.
I think you'll be pleased with
I
that
I think
choice,
it's a better choice.
Okay.
Ike Turner or Mike Tyson?
Oh, my
Now, that
God.
Is interesting.
Because you know you're going to get beat up afterwards.
You're getting
yeah,
hurt.
Totally.
You're getting hurt either way.
They're both abusers at best.
But look,
I
was going to say, look at it this way. Ike Turner's a lot older and a lot weaker. So if you're going to take a beating, it might as well be from him.
And I am a green belt.
Good point.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Were you laughing, Kevin?
No.
Okay. So Ike Turner.
Ike Turner.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
All right, let's go. Let's delve into radio.
Mm-hmm.
Tito from Power 106 or Tom Likas?
Oh, my God.
Who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me.
What would Tito sound like if I were having sex with him?
Heina, would you like to bend or touch your toes? Put that ass in the air, face down, prepare for the action, the bonk bonk.
Tito!
Mira, man, wanna fight, man?
I gotta do Tito, right?
Unfortunately, Likas wasn't available for comment. Movie director and actor extraordinaire Kevin Smith.
Uh-huh.
Or Jack Black.
Oh, because I like Kevin Smith better. But...
It's Kevin Smith.
You so you're offering the butt?
With either of the choices.
You're saying butt is okay?
Maybe
pick
if
one.
I were facing away. You'd kind of have to, wouldn't you?
Pick one.
Well, that's reserved for doggy style for those gentlemen, by the way.
Jack Black.
Jack no. Black.
Really?
Well,
even though you like Kevin Smith
I
better.
I love Kevin Smith, but there's less of Jack Black.
All right, and Mike, we got about time for about two more.
Okay. I have one more, and I know right. that okay, Lisa is repulsed by both these men, so I'm really curious.
Excellent.
Gene Simmons or Donald Trump?
Oh, my God. Gene Simmons.
Gene yep. Simmons.
Really?
Absolutely.
I would make every dream you ever had come true, Lisa May. Good choice.
He'll be
you.
Very happy to hear that.
I'm
and
sorry.
Thank you for playing our new game.
Who would Lisa rather... Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me, who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather?
You know, there are a lot of serious channels out there with a lot of serious talk about serious issues, and we like to think of ourselves as a serious show as well.
In fact, we may be the only ones serious enough to take on this battle. It's the Uncrustable Debate.
Directions: keep frozen until ready to eat. Number two, thaw 30 to 60 minutes at room temperature. 30 minutes to an hour.
Pretty convenient right there.
And number three, eat within 8 hours of defrosting for best flavor. Now, I'm fine with Uncrustables. I think they taste good. If you don't have the option of making a real sandwich, those are fantastic. If you do have the option, you lose. Those
They're
are worse.
They're a little pricey.
How much are they for a box?
Well, a box is $3.49.
$3.49 for four little kind of half sandwiches.
That's nothing.
Right. Now Alex
went
out and
bought... Oh, listen, money bags.
Alex went out and bought all the stuff to make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for $10.48, and I was figuring out how many sandwiches you could make.
Right.
And it's like 40.
Paying more for an admittedly inferior product. Great job,
no
guys.
Way.
Good for you. Keep
this
it up.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. If you haven't figured it out, it's Uncrustables versus the real PB&J. Let's do one email from K-Rock listener Gavel. Although Uncrustables are a very convenient and nutritious treat, homemade PB&J sandwiches are now and forever and will always be superior to Uncrustables.
That's
Come on, common sense
about.
Dictates that anything made with love and by hand is superior to a machine robot-made product. My decision is final, is what he said.
Wow. Well, that's
his decision
stupid.
Is final.
His name's Gavel, dude.
Let's take some calls. We'll start with Dennis. He's in Chino. What do you think? Uncrustables versus real homemade PB&J. What do you think?
Real homemade PB&J.
And how come?
With the Uncrustables, you either have not enough jelly. I have three boys at home. And one wants more peanut butter. The other one wants more jelly. And my wife bought a press last week that gets the crust out and pinches the edges, that bottle cap pinch that it has on the sides.
Yeah, that the Uncrustables has.
Okay, so you're paying more to make Uncrustables.
Yeah, come on, that costs a lot of money.
So you're saying you get your choice of flavors and everything else with it.
You get your choice of flavors, right. How much jelly, how much peanut butter.
What more flavor do you want? Grape, strawberry. Those are the two main
ones. Yeah, but sometimes in an Uncrustable, one overdoes the other, and you don't want that, Dave. Do you understand that?
What are you talking about?
Some of us do not want diabetes. We're against it.
Javier in West Covina, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
PB&J, hands down. This is the most ridiculous argument I've heard in my life.
Thank you.
That jelly that comes in those whatever the hell you call them.
Uncrustables.
Disc of death.
How dare you?
The horrible jelly I've ever had in my life. It's like batteries coming out of a raccoon's crap.
Yes. But at least you have to wait 30 to 60 minutes to get it.
It's the same jelly that you buy in the stores.
Not true.
It's Smuckers.
It's not the premium Smuckers. It's the whack ass Smuckers. That's how they do.
What
that's
are you what talking they're about.
Gonna...
The whack.
How do you know? It's the whack ass. Yeah. Did you make it? Maybe I've seen some, underground documents that you don't know about. This is not. This is not.
All right, hold on, Mike.
This is not like a TV dinner where you're taking steak and potatoes. Something that would, if you were to make it on your own, take a lot of time and effort to make, and you're putting it into a convenient prepackaged thing. This is peanut butter and jelly, something in and of itself which was already convenient and easy to make. Bottom line bachelor food. How much more convenience do you need? Why don't you just get an IV drip of peanut butter and jelly and stick it in your goddamn arm
and just have it
drip into your veins all day long?
Listen.
It's easy. It's convenient. It's convenient. I don't have to do nothing. It's IV drip of peanut butter jelly in my arm.
All I'm saying is when I'm over your place and we both want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'll just take Jenny's out of the fridge, eat it, and you're making yours, and I'm done. Bum.
Yeah, Dave, that can take an hour to make your own.
Yes. Doesn't matter. By the time he takes the ingredients out, I'm done.
Mike is right when he says the steak and the other, if it takes you a long time to prepare, it does make sense for convenience sake. But I'm saying for convenience sake, you don't need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich handmade is not all that inconvenient, people.
Okay.
How lazy are you?
It's not about it's about convenience. It's about saving
time.
How
lazy are you?
How late are you every morning? If you wanted a freaking peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you wanted to get to work on time, if you really were hungry, are you going to stop and make a 2-minute, half a minute sandwich, whatever
yes.
it is?
Yes.
Are you going to start
and
getting, be late?
Yes.
Would you rather just grab one of these and be on time?
And have an inferior sandwich?
No,
inferior
I'd rather
sandwich. I'd make my own.
Are you going to get pre-chewed gum too?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Pre-chewed gum.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, we need to have to end it there.
We didn't do our taste test.
Jessica, Uncrustables, they're cheaper than buying all the rest, which we already figured out is not true.
No.
Andrea says, neither. I make peanut butter and jelly burritos.
Oh, those are so good, too, though, by the way.
That is strong.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Matt in Norwalk says, handmade, but he sells Uncrustable and can never keep them on the shelves because they sell so much. Myra says, handmade, how hard is it to cut off your own crust? Mike says, Border Patrol agents feed illegal aliens Uncrustables.
See, they have
the
world.
Is that about for or against?
I don't know.
They have
that must
the
be
world.
Where Dave got the taste for it, though.